If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You ever hear of Kevin and Bean?
Yeah.
You like them?
I think they're the bomb.
How could you know so many specific details? That is amazing.
Learn how Britney got her $1 million smile.
Oh, I had one retainer. It was really gross because it was one retainer. It was like a one. You know how you have the top retainer and the bottom? But it was one. And you put it in so you really couldn't talk. And it had a key and everything that you put in it to turn it to tighten it every night.
What are you talking about?
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
How come y'all won't just leave a brother alone?
This is fun! I think it's gonna work out!
Yep.
And now.
Our feature presentation.
Not a fan of those car horns?
I think I've heard them enough.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. What are you doing over there, Lisa? What's happening?
I was just looking for the dot on the mic. There's no dot.
There is no dot. I am not that kind.
I don't know what to do without the dot.
These microphones are ridiculous here at K-Rock, but if you don't speak in them exactly in the right way, your voice disappears.
And there's a dot that tells you exactly the right way, but I
Yeah.
All right. Couldn't Thanks, look. Bean.
Couldn't what look. Did I do? I didn't
Stupid
do anything.
Stupid head. You're here. I don't have a dot.
I'm you're on
so,
her
the,
mic.
The dot was removed on this one, Lisa, because it spins, so it's irrelevant on this one. See here?
Well, so she can talk into anything?
Well, no.
What do you mean
no.
it spins, that, so it's irrelevant?
If you put the dot here, this could be halfway around, you
Why
know, 180
you
Well, just put the dot
here.
Put the dot where it's supposed to be at the right time, and it doesn't matter if it spins. You can move it back to the dot.
My other one does the same
thing. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever, Lightning.
Like most things Lightning says.
Thank you for playing.
We got a new game here called Translate What the F Lightning's Trying to Tell Us.
Yeah, he's unencumbered by grammar and spelling
yeah.
and other things
facts.
That the rest of us
facts
are beholden to.
It really is. It's almost like we have to, like when he says something, we need to transcribe it and send the printout up to the 11th floor and have the scientists put it through some sort of machine to translate in English.
Here's what I like. We gave Lightning a test when? A year or two ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago to see if he was dyslexic?
Mm-hmm.
Or what his problem was? And yep. They said that he reads and writes. Was it reads and writes or just writes? Writes at a fourth grade level.
And reads, I think, right, Mom?
I think it was predominantly it was reading and
reading at a fourth grade level.
Yeah, because you're definitely not writing at a fourth grade level. There's no question about that.
So step up to the mic and tell us what you've done in the last 2 years to make that better.
Oh, well. Zero.
Yeah.
As you can tell from my email last night.
No, that's good. That's all right.
That's all we need.
And having a conversation, it's not just the email, it's not just reading and writing. Having a conversation with Lightning, I sometimes feel like he's on a different track than the train that we're all riding on.
Yeah. Well, that's always been
it's
true.
There's no connection there.
It's funny because, I'm talking to this mic now, for how many years now? 15, 16 years now. I mean, I've done the morning thing. I'm not a morning guy. I mean, I think of myself very differently at night. I feel like I'm awake.
Right.
And I struggle every single
So you have the
morning.
Right job for the last 16 years?
No, it's been just a mess. And I feel
okay.
bad for you guys.
I never Excellent. Knew this about Lightning.
I'm telling you that at 8
he
o'clock
says he's
at night,
sharper
I will
evening.
Have great, thoughtful, succinct conversations.
What time did you send out that email last night that was all
well,
wrong?
Well, that was 10 o'clock after.
10 o'clock at night.
10 o'clock after a charity function with some beers.
How about that? Oh, okay.
But here's the thing. I'm in my car. It's a short ride, and the wife is driving home, and all I can think is, I got to get this email to these guys. There's a change on the schedule, and they're going to just butcher me if I don't let them know about it. So I get in there. I type it as fast as I can, and you know, and hit spell check, and I just cancel, send. So I don't even go through spell check. So the words
no,
from like
that's especially good
bean.
For a guy who reads and writes at a fourth grade level to
sure.
not hit spell check.
Typically, I do.
Because if you don't get that email out within 20 seconds,
but you know what? I was right on that like 10:15, and I'm thinking any second these guys are going to bed if I miss them. So I just it was all about speed and getting it.
Obviously, we need to conduct all Lightning related business between 8 and about 8:30.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
exactly.
it. Because after that he starts to fade again. But he's so sharp right between 8 and 8:30.
It's a narrow window that we have to hit. But
all right. Yeah, I'm a rocket scientist.
Now that we know.
Just in that 30
everything
minute
will be
bit.
Much
well,
better.
Only Mike will appreciate that we're living flowers for Algernon right here. I'll tell you that.
Thank you. Right over my head.
Thank you for the courtesy.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. Lighting.
All right, Light, you're excused.
Okay. All right.
That means you can go.
That means you're fired. No, doesn't it?
Oh, I wish. Oh. I mean, yeah. No, that would be bad. He has children.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's an all-new show for Thursday morning, the 19th of July. Do you like cream in your coffee?
Ooh.
I'm not happy with the sound effect for this month.
Makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Love it.
Tell me you guys saw Gary Sheffield last night talking about steroids.
I did not.
Is this the golfer?
Oh,
no, no.
Baseball
no.
player.
Baseball
no,
player. I think
I
he's with Detroit now. Here's a clip from Jimmy Kimmel's show. He brought it up, and then he played the clip. And here it is now.
Meanwhile, though, another athlete with a screw in need of tightening is Gary Sheffield of the Detroit Tigers. He sat down on Real Sports last night on HBO with Andrea Kramer to talk about his alleged steroid use. And as you will see here, Gary has a very, very specific definition of what steroids are.
What did you think they were when they were given to you?
What I was told is that the clear that I was taking under my tongue was a muscle recovery, like when you lift weights, the next day you can recover. You know, I just feel like in a million years, I don't care what nobody say. Steroids is something you shoot in your butt. You know, I do know that. But when you're talking about
forms of it,
well, I mean, that's the thing. You could sit here and people that don't play sports and sit here and critique everything. The bottom line is steroids is you stick in your butt.
All right. Well, so there you go.
Okay.
Steroids you stick in your butt.
Rad. And that's it.
Isn't that good news?
I can take all the oral steroids I want and it's not taking steroids?
Mike, what are the chances that a professional league baseball player would really misunderstand that?
I'm going to say zero. I can't see someone who's...
It's what you stick in your butt. I mean, well, how many conversations did they have? Okay, you're going to talk to Real Sports tonight and we got to come up with a good reason why. Well, I just thought that's what you stuck in your butt. If it didn't go in your butt, they're not steroids.
Now, look, it's not too far-fetched to think that when you become a professional baseball player, you are surrounded by trainers and sports doctors and stuff that are hired by the team.
Sure.
That they are looked at as experts by you. And if they tell you to take stuff, you're probably just going to take it. No questions asked. I could see that.
I couldn't see that. If you're a professional athlete, you don't ask, what is this?
If I'm Gary Sheffield, who's probably not a smart guy.
Really?
I mean, you know, if you listen to the guy talk, he's probably not a medical expert. And there's a guy who got an MD, and he's hired by the Detroit Tigers or the New York Yankees, whoever he was playing for at the time. And he's said to be an expert in taking care of you physically.
Did he get it from the doctor?
Look, I don't know, but I'm saying I can see that. Now, chances are, owners of a Major League Baseball team are not going to hire doctors giving their team steroids.
So what you just said was out. Okay.
And like you were alluding to, I don't see a guy whose job, his livelihood, is his body and his health just randomly putting crap in his body.
I do that. I'll pop anything anyone sends.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We
say
that.
You send a pill in the mail, Kevin will take it.
I'll,
no questions
I'll take
asked.
It. But
and also, even the most novice, you know, athlete understands that there are oral forms of steroids.
Right.
I mean, that's not
that's
like,
what I was saying. Is he was like, oh, I'm confused by all these strange terms. Yeah. If it doesn't go in your butt, it's not a steroid.
Yeah, that's, you know, a lot of forms of steroids are intramuscular and
but don't they take steroids to rebuild the muscle after working out, which was his description of what this pill was supposed to do?
Yeah, there's a myriad of reasons you would take them, but a large chunk of the reason people take steroids is to help in muscle recovery. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Well,
so. Mike, do you like them in the butt?
Oh, I like a lot of things.
No, steroids. Is that how you prefer them?
Yeah, I mean, look, anything that you inject into your body as opposed to eating is going to forego the kidneys and the stomach and tends to be a lot more effective.
Oh, I got you.
Because of, you know,
faster delivery system.
Right, and you don't lose any type of efficacy through the internal organs and digestion.
Not that you've used steroids.
No, I'm just saying.
No, you're saying if you did.
I'm just saying if someone were to use them, that would be preferred.
So, Gary Sheffield.
There's your guy.
Take it in the butt.
All right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Harvey Levin's on the phone today, talking about TMZ.com, Lindsay Lohan's story. One of his photographers got beaten up.
That's an amazing story.
By a cast member of CSI, as a matter of fact. So we're going to talk to him about that today. We have our intern Gator is here. We call him Gator because he comes from Florida, and he was the Florida Gator. He was their mascot. And his brother is the Seattle Seahawk.
How about that? That runs in the family.
At what point does putting on an animal costume run in the family?
I don't know.
It's a strange family, but we'll talk to him about that and people who have to wear costumes at work.
I mean, it's one thing to look at your dad and go, well, he was the 41st president of the United States. Maybe I'll try to be president, too. I mean, that's one thing to follow in the footsteps of. It's another thing to go, wow, he wore a smelly outfit. Maybe I can wear a smelly outfit.
That's a great idea, one that doesn't get washed. That'd be great. So we got that this morning. We got Joe Rogan in studio.
Oh, cool.
Funny man Joe Rogan. He's going to be here to talk about some comedy, some stand-up comedy that's going on. We have the Rock, Paper, Scissors Championships.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought in some highlights of that because I missed it this year.
They really, really, really go out of their way to make it a sport. It's a sport. Yeah. These are athletes.
But I will say this about Rock, Paper, Scissors is at least this game is all strategy. I mean, at least you do have to have some smart, some ability to think your way to win this game, because that's all it is. There's no physical prowess involved.
Oh, that's where you're wrong. There's a lot of physical
prowess. Oh, really?
Prowess.
I didn't realize that.
According to the announcers, it's all physical.
I thought even a fat guy could make a rock, a paper, or a scissors.
Nope. And you'll hear the tape, too. They talk about how this guy has thrown more signs than the other guy, so he must be exhausted. It's funny as hell. I don't understand it for a second. Also, Chris Angel dating Lindsay Lohan in Vegas. What the hell's up with that? And we have Breakfast with Linkin Park tickets. Breakfast with Linkin Park tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. And we have two different ways for you to win. The first way is coming up in the 6 o'clock hour here on the world famous K-Rock. We got Ralph Showbiz Beat up.
Ralph, did we get nominated for an Emmy this year?
Not this year.
Oh, come on. No. I watched more TV than anybody. How could I not have been nominated for an Emmy?
They should have a category for that.
They should totally give an Emmy to the person who watches the most TV.
I agree. I really thought I had a shot at it this year. Is it freaking Dave again? Did King of Mexico beat me out?
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts.
I watch TV for hours and Guinness Book of Records, even though it doesn't say so.
It's Thursday morning. Yeah, we're talking about the primetime Emmy nominations, just part of the Showbiz Beat that Ralph will cover for us right now at 5:51.
Just got back from the Academy where they announced the awards. Would have been here a little sooner, but I reached for a Danish and Sam Rubin tackled me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he gets very protective of you don't that want to spread in the morning, I'll tell you.
If you're holding a Danish, he'll eat you and the Danish.
Oh, easily. Yeah. Kira Sedgwick and John Cryer from Two and a Half Men. Kira Sedgwick, of course, from The Closer, announced just moments ago the categories for this year's Primetime Emmy Awards. Here are the biggest categories: drama, comedy, actor and actress in a drama, actor and actress in a comedy. Here are your nominations. Best Drama TV Series, Boston Legal was nominated this year, as was Grey's Anatomy, Heroes, Sopranos, and House are your nominees for drama.
That's going to be a tough category.
Let me tell you something about House, the best goddamn show on television.
I was watching. It'll be tough for you.
I watch the reruns now because even though if you know what the result is, I mean, I saw every episode last season, but they're rerunning it. And you can focus on like the acting and the writing and stuff. How do you write that show? How do you write House? You got to be a super medical genius to come up with that stuff and write it. And then you have to be an excellent dramatic writer on top of it. How do you put that together?
That's a good question.
It's
that's
amazing.
Why there are not a lot of shows like that.
That's for sure.
Do you think they're going to vote for The Sopranos just because it's the last chance to vote for The Sopranos?
I fear that may be the case.
It often is.
It's sort of a farewell tribute.
Yep.
Best Comedy, Entourage, nominated this year. Office, Two and a Half Men, Ugly Betty, and 30 Freakin' Rock, nominated for Best Comedy.
I like 30 Freakin' Rock.
You got much better.
Yeah.
But Best Comedy.
Yeah.
They have to have five.
Yes, true.
They don't have to.
They had to fill the gap.
Hey, there aren't many comedies on television anymore.
South Park.
Actor.
Point.
How about Extras? Over on HBO. Smokes 30 Rock. Best actor in a comedy. Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock. That's well-deserved. He's the best thing on that show. Steve Carell in The Office. Sure. Equally well-deserved. Ricky Gervais for Extras.
Oh, there you go.
There's his nominee, but I think the show should have been nominated as well. What a surprise. Tony Shalhoub was nominated for Monk.
Oh, how about that?
And Charlie Sheen for Two and a Half Men.
Somebody over there likes Two and a Half Men.
I'll tell you. John Cryer, by the way, this isn't part of my announcement, but he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy for Two and a Half Men.
Okay.
Let's see. Where are we? Best Actress in a Comedy?
Yeah.
America Vespucci.
I think it's Ferreira.
Betty.
Ferreira, I think it's a lot.
Oh. Tina Fey for 30 Rock. Felicity Huffman for Desperate Housewives, the only one nominated in the Best Actress category for that show. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, The New Adventures of Old Christine.
Really?
And Mary Louise Parker for Weeds. She's so good on that show.
She is good on that.
That's coming back very soon.
Yeah, August, right?
Best Actor in a Drama Series, James Gandolfini for The Sopranos.
Sure.
Dennis Leary for Rescue Me.
He's
well
awesome.
Deserved.
Love that show.
James Spader, Boston Legal. Kiefer Sutherland, 24. And Hugh Laurie for House.
Wow, that's a tough category.
Yep.
Not for me.
Yeah.
You know how I feel. And Best Actress in a Drama. Now, I was jotting this down as they announced them, so I will double-check for subsequent Showbiz Beats. But I'm pretty sure they nominated six actresses this year for this award.
Really?
That's odd.
And there's only supposed to be five in each category. Mm. Now, either they screwed up this morning, or there was some kind of tie or something in the nomination. They had to nominate them both. But here's how it shakes down. Excuse me. Trisha Arquette for Medium. Minnie Driver for The Riches. If you're not watching The Riches over there on the FX.
That's good, too.
Her and Eddie Izzard are just so amazing on that show, and she's great. Edie Falco for The Sopranos. Sally Field for Brothers and Sisters.
That show Lisa made up?
Yeah, the one, the fictional show.
Show's
that
not
Lisa,
on.
The one Lisa watches in her mind.
In it. Rachel Griffin's.
And then
in
a unicorn comes, and we all fly to the magical dumpling land. It's
I guess
great.
If the show doesn't get made and isn't on TV, you can put whoever you want in it, Lisa.
Mariska Hargitay, Law and Order.
Oh, ow.
Special Victims Unit. And Kira Sedgwick for The Closer. So those are your six nominees for Best Actress in a Drama.
The only surprise in that my first hearing of your list is how many Two and a Half Men got.
Yeah.
That sounds like most nominated in terms of the major categories.
Like you said, there's not a lot of comedies on television.
True,
it's
and it is a big
popular.
Hit. Yeah.
I don't get it, but...
I like that show.
You like everything bad. Everything we say you're bad, you go, I like that.
Pretty much.
I have,
you know, someone hit me in the head with a ball-peen hammer. I like getting hit with a ball-peen hammer.
I like Two and a Half Men. I think it's funny.
I've only ever seen it a couple times, and it was okay. It wasn't awful.
Do you watch it regularly, Kevin?
No, but no. I watch probably at least half the season, which is more than most shows.
That's pretty good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're funny.
The episodes I've seen always strike me as a show that looks like a sitcom. It sounds like a sitcom. It's got the rhythm of a sitcom. It's got the characters of a sitcom, but there's no com. Just a lot of sit.
A lot of sit.
Yeah. So, also some minor news stories. Jeremy Piven and Kevin Dillon, both nominated Best Supporting Comic Actors for Entourage. So
okay.
Two guys from that category. Have you seen the photos on TMZ.com of our boy Nick Nolte? Oh,
no.
How I love Nick Nolte.
Oh, no.
He has the best mugshot of all time already. He's already in the record books for that, right?
These pictures blow his mugshot
really?
Away. Blow them away.
Oh, I can't wait.
Apparently, he was in Kauai, the island of Kauai. He was at the airport. His plane was delayed, and passengers were sitting there in the terminal say that he was dripping in sweat and barely able to keep his bloodshot eyes open. So what did he do?
Drank.
Laid down on the terminal floor, leaning up against the seats, drifting in and out of consciousness for more than 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
I see the photos now, Ralph. He does look like a homeless guy.
It's spectacular.
Yeah.
Apparently... Passenger said, although he was barely conscious and just loaded up on something, allegedly, he was extremely friendly and didn't mind the passengers standing around him snapping pictures of him laying on the floor of the of the terminal.
Wow.
Was he under the influence? Well, that's for you to judge. But one of the other passengers said, at one point we had to help him put a dollar in a vending machine.
He's the best.
I'm saying.
Oh, that's sad.
48 hours, three. Him and Hasselhoff.
Oh!
That's the pairing I want.
I like
to
it.
Sharing a burger.
Excellent.
Listen here, convict. I don't care who's got talent.
Good times. This is a disturbing internet rumor. PerezHilton.com says that Sharon Stone has a new boyfriend.
Yeah.
Craig Ferguson.
Really?
Late Night TV's Craig Ferguson.
But we like him.
I know.
That's not fair.
That's
not
what
right.
I'm saying.
That's not right.
That's not a good hookup there for the Craig man. Although, with the legend that surrounds Sharon Stone sexually, given the opportunity, I might have to
might
give
be
her
worth
a throw.
It.
Might have to give her a throw just to do a little investigation.
Have you seen her lately?
Well, I saw her on the set of that David Spade movie, where the hell she was doing. She was a redhead sucking on that latte.
That was rough.
That didn't look good. Yeah, that did not look good.
Crypt Keeper.
Chris Angel's hooking up with another Hollywood.
What? Who else?
TMZ.com says Chris Angel was recently caught sharing a stripper pole with Paris Hilton in Vegas.
No!
Oh, wait. He deserves Paris Hilton. What am I doing?
Think that's a good combo?
Yeah, that's a great combo. Maybe they can both go down on the same plane.
But he shouldn't get anyone attractive in
Chris
any way.
Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
Those of you keeping a scorecard, that's Cameron Diaz, Lindsay Lohan, and Paris Hilton in the past few weeks. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah!
That was him on the stripper pole.
I know how I am, so that's fine.
Oh, people are just freaking out about this Harry Potter book. Oh, oh, God, it comes out Friday. Oh, 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 oh. Apparently, a website called deepdiscount.com was taking orders for the book Harry Potter and the Flaming Tampon. What the hell is it called?
I don't think that's it.
The Deathly Hallows.
That's it.
Yeah. And they sent them out early. Oops. So people were receiving their copies as early as 2 days ago, most of them yesterday. Now, the publisher, Scholastic Books, is flipping out and taking them to court for violating an agreement which requires sellers to release the book all at the same time.
That sounds like a legitimate complaint from the publisher.
So Scholastic Publishers is not only taking legal action, but begging all the customers who have already received their copies to close them and keep them hidden. So, in the company's words, fans can celebrate together after the book's official release midnight Saturday morning. F you. Let's all celebrate together. What happens to people who buy it on Saturday? Oh, don't tell anybody until Sunday. How long are we going to keep this up?
That's
just a freaking book. Everybody read it. Enjoy yourself. Celebrate together.
Well, they're saying that legally they're in trouble, I imagine. And there's no possible way a bookstore could misunderstand that.
Oh, yeah.
Look, one of the biggest releases of the year. The legal action between them and the retailer, I don't care about.
Right.
But them treating this as if we all have to open the book at the same time. This isn't the SATs. You put your pencils down.
Yeah, read at your own pace. You know what? There are people who are going to read it in a month,
when
in a year, in 5 years.
How long do you want to keep the secret of whatever happens at the end of this book? Come Saturday, everybody's going to know. So relax.
I'm with you.
Apparently somebody took picture after picture of every page in the book and posted it online on the internet.
No. So they posted the pictures, but not the actual...
No,
pictures
the whole thing. Of the pages. Ah. They took digital photos of page after page of the entire book.
Aren't those like 800 pages?
Yes. Posted 756 photos of the pages up online.
My God.
Someone with too much time on their hands.
I heard newscasters yesterday discussing if they were going to look at it or not, if they could wait until Saturday or if they had to find out right now.
Come on, people. Seriously. And really...
I'm just gonna say it. I can't take it anymore. He commits suicide. Harry Potter commits suicide.
Finally.
He throws himself on a sword. I'm sorry. Now you know.
Now we can all celebrate together as we open our books. Unreal.
People who this is all they have, Godspeed. Go with it. Read it. Enjoy it.
Yeah, but
leave us alone.
They can't clog up our legal systems and make announcements about celebrations. Keep that to yourselves. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ooh, not a great day. Not a big day in celebrity birthdays.
Yeah.
Some days, lots of celebrities.
Sure.
Today?
Less than that. So if you have a birthday today, you're kind of alone.
Jared Padalecki.
He is...
from Supernatural over there on the C-Dub.
No.
No?
That's below the line.
Anthony Edwards. He used to be on ER. Remember him, Dr. Green?
Yes, I do.
Sure.
Top Gun's Anthony Edwards.
He's 45 years old today. That's right. He was Goose in that. Brian May, guitarist for Queen. Famous guitarist.
Okay.
Sort of.
He's all right.
He's 60. And Pat Hingle, who played Commissioner Gordon in the Tim Burton Batman movies.
Oh, my God.
He celebrates his 83rd birthday today.
Wow.
No love for Pat Hingle?
Gotta draw Sorry. The line.
That's bullshit.
Come on, give Hingle a little love. A little love for Hingle.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit.
All right. No love for the Hangman. I'm going to remember that. I don't know when, but I'll remember it.
Or why.
When all our fans are celebrating together, I'm going to remember that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Don't forget, K-Rock's Road Trip USA stop number 7 is the White Stripes in Mount Rushmore. And keep listening for your chance to win the tickets to see the Stripes September 19th at the Forum.
I would be excited to get that phone call. I wonder how it will be received tomorrow morning at 7:15 when we call and say, hey, good news, White Stripes, you tell us. Good news, South Dakota?
Well,
not so much.
You personally would be more excited about South Dakota than you would White Stripes.
I love them both.
But I'm guessing...
it's perfect for me.
I'm guessing our listeners will be more excited about the White Stripes than
South Dakota. You think about the calls we made. Hey, we're sending you to Australia. Hey, you're going to Tokyo. Congratulations.
Yeah.
New York City, London. Tomorrow, South Dakota. I'm really eager to see how that one goes over. But it's a beautiful venue. Like I said earlier in the week, I've been there and seen concerts at Mount Rushmore, and you couldn't ask for a more glorious backdrop.
All right. We were talking about Chris Angel a few minutes ago. I know you remember the story that he was apparently playing blackjack with and going up to the room of Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
On her first night out of rehab, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Apparently that's not where it stops.
Oh, geez.
So we got to talk to the mind freak himself. Chris Angel is on the phone. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming on, especially since we hate you and you have nothing to gain by doing this interview. But do you mind if we call you by your real name, Chris Sarantakos?
I would prefer you didn't call me that because I have an image that I like to use when I'm taking the magic illusions of the world and posing them in a way that everyone can appreciate, like pop culture, like film, like music, and get the respect and the love of all the people that love music and film and magic.
Okay. Listen, Houdini, you do card tricks, all right? You're not saving the world here.
Listen, can I please say that I've been a fan of yours since my father and I used to listen to the Kevin and Bean show before he passed away.
Has to talk about his dead dad within 30 seconds.
We would get together, we would get around the hearth,
right,
and we would turn into your station and we'd listen, and it's an honor to be on your show.
Okay, that's fine. Hey, listen, Kevin was just talking about Lindsay Lohan, which is a big tabloid story right now. Her first night out of Promises Rehab, she goes to Las Vegas to celebrate her 21st birthday at the Pure nightclub. And somehow she ends up with you. Like, you showed up at her party. Were you invited? Did you know Lindsay before that night?
I only knew Lindsay from her previous work. My father, before he passed away, my father and I were both huge fans of Lindsay Lohan. We would get together and watch The Parent Trap together.
Really?
Her be fully loaded.
Wow. That's a strange set of movies to share with your dad. That's it.
That other film she made.
Mean Girls?
Mean Girls. Yeah. Right. We watched that. And so, in honor of my father, I had to go up to her and tell her that my father loved her so much before he passed away.
Okay, so you played blackjack with her, and then she took you up to her room.
Yes.
Here's the story.
And I showed her a trick where I made a tent appear in my pants.
Is that right?
Do you travel with the sound effects, Chris?
That's just magic. It's not even me. I'm not even doing that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's just magic, the way it comes out of magic land.
Yeah. Now, we also see a report that Paris Hilton was at Jet Nightclub at the Mirage.
Yes.
And apparently she was dancing on the club's stripper pole.
Yes.
And boom, there you were.
I appeared. And together we danced together on the pole. Because my father, before he passed away...
Stop it with your dad!
...was a huge fan of strippers. Mm. And so... I wanted to dedicate my grinding my pelvis against the pole to my father.
Your late father, right.
Yes. And then Paris, you may not know this, but Paris is a magician in her own right.
Is that right?
She loves magic.
Right.
She's a huge fan of magic.
Didn't know that.
Later that night, Paris made crabs appear on me where they hadn't been before.
Really? Wow.
It was an amazing trick. One minute I was crab free. The next moment I was... infested.
Huh, how about that?
It's magical.
So she does magic too then?
Yes, and I did a trick where I made my penis disappear.
Right.
And then reappear.
Okay. Oh. I think we get it.
And then disappear.
Right.
And reappear.
I think we disappear.
Yeah.
We understand,
and
Chris.
Reappear.
Chris, what do you think your dead dad thinks about you having sex with you?
What was that?
What was that sound?
I don't... Some magic dust got my eyes.
What do you think your dead dad thinks about Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and the... apparently you have a beeper on your belt that tells you when hot young celebs are coming from Los Angeles to Vegas, and then you just have sex with them all.
No, I don't have a beeper. I have a sense. I just get a sense.
A sense.
I know how to read people. I know how to read people's minds. Mm-hmm. I'm a mentalist as well as I am an illusionist.
Right.
And so I can just see in my mind when hot broads are coming to Vegas.
Okay.
And I'm drawn to them. I levitate towards them by my penis. My penis levitates me and carries me to wherever they are.
It's like a divining rod to find the hot one.
Exactly what it is.
All right, we're talking to...
What just happened?
My penis just was speaking with me.
Okay. We're talking to emo-gician Chris Angel on the phone. Last thing from me, Chris, and that is, what about your girlfriend, Cameron Diaz, who you were cheating on your wife with? Now aren't you cheating on Cameron Diaz with all these other chicks we've talked about?
Cameron's the wonderful woman. We had 4 or 5 dates, and by dates I mean sex.
Right.
And that's over. That's past. We're just good friends now. So there's no relationship going on between the two of us.
Okay.
So
All right, what just happened?
I just sent a little love her way, magic love.
You can do that?
Yes.
Do you point or something? How do you make the love go?
I go.
Oh, I see.
And a kiss flies away.
Is it true that when you're having sex, you end with this?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't happen. True. But I am constantly working on new tricks.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, you called me. I just got up. I'm currently in the bathroom right now.
Okay.
I'm going to make something appear in the toilet bowl.
Oh, come on,
Chris.
That's not a trick.
And I'm going to take this razor-sharp blade I have in my hand, and this mentholated foam in the other hand.
Right.
And I'm going to make all the whiskers that appeared on my face overnight disappear.
Wow.
It's going to be a mind freak.
How do you do that?
Hold on.
Chris, you're just shaving. Chris, you're fine. You're fine. Chris, you're just shaving. Sounds like someone hit him with an elephant gun.
My face is smooth.
Okay, good. So ESPN2 had the Rock, Paper, Scissors Championships. And what?
Well, there's no basketball, there's no hockey, there's no football.
I know, it's a very sad time, and all that's left is baseball.
And they have several channels to fill 24 hours a day.
So Rock, Paper, Scissors Championships, their announcer is named Trey Wingo. Have you ever heard of that guy?
I have not.
Their color commentator was named Rochambeau.
How lucky for him.
Yeah. I kid you not.
He went into the right business.
So I'm trying to figure out if they get the joke, if they know that they're joking along with the fact that it's rock, paper, scissors, and it can't possibly be an athletic competition.
Yeah.
I think one of them gets it and one of them doesn't. Here's the beginning of the competition.
Tonight, both sports and American history will be made as Rock, Paper, Scissors crowns its national champ. 298 RPS qualifiers have converged in Vegas, where one wrist wizard will throw down for 50 G's and rewrite the Rock, Paper, Scissors record books. Who will make that momentous hand gesture? The throwdown showdown begins now.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
They have to make it sound like it's exciting.
Well,
right?
It's the throwdown showdown.
It's the throwdown showdown. So then Trey Wingo introduces himself. Now, I think Trey Wingo, the guy who was just talking, kind of realizes that it's a joke. But Rochambeau, the color commentator, wait till you hear him.
Hi, everybody. I'm Trey Wingo. And tonight, one hand sports savant will smash, slice, and smother his or her way to $50,000 and also be crowned national champ.
That's correct, Trey. You're a scholar and a gentleman. And, you know, a lot of people used to laugh about it, but there is absolutely nothing funny about the sport of rock, paper, scissors.
Right.
Now, rock, paper, scissors is a complex game. The winners must possess skill. They must possess strategy, stamina, arms, and fists.
Okay, so you have to have arms and fists.
Okay.
So that you can play.
Now, if you tell me this sport doesn't require athleticism, I'll show you a player that's suffering from shoulder fatigue, wrist cramps, and Carpi's tunnel syndrome. Only the country's elite players made it here tonight, and at this level of play, it's going to be beyond extraordinary.
Guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but couldn't a guy with just one arm play rock, paper, scissors?
Yes, he could, although he would
but
be
he
much
needs a
more
fist,
fatigued.
Right?
As long as he has a fist, but his other arm's cut off, he could still probably
sure.
do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
This is going to be beyond extraordinary. I don't know what that is, but that's what he says it's going to be. Now, all the people are dressed up. The people get it. The people who go there get it. There's somebody dressed up like Pee Wee Herman. There's somebody dressed up like Darth Vader. You know, they all have their little outfits on that they
yeah.
wear. And this guy has oven mitts.
Up first is the oven mitted one, Antoine Shears Monum, who calls himself the Thrillamaker in the Vanilla Wafer. And thus far, his hands have dominated all three of his matches.
Now, Shears is cocky, he's flamboyant, and he's actually got the RPS skills to back it up. He can beat you with one hand and take the chicken out of the oven with the other. Now, that's versatility.
See?
It's hard to argue with that. That is versatility.
How many people can do that?
Very
beat you
rarely.
With one hand and take the chicken out of the oven.
Very rarely do you see that with a professional athlete. Gary Sheffield couldn't do that.
They keep calling it athletics. So, you know, as happens in rock, paper, scissors, sometimes you throw the exact same thing.
RPS. Mm-hmm.
RPS, I'm sorry. And this is a paper stalemate. So this is the third time in a row they both threw paper, and the guys are losing their minds.
And a paper stalemate. Three straight ties. Unprecedented.
Engage.
Yet another paper tie. This is whack. Four in a row.
Wow.
That's a sequence you'd only see at this elite level of play.
Okay. All right. First of all, this is whack. And second of all, you'd only see this at this elite level of play. I don't think that guy's kidding.
Doesn't that happen when you're six and you're playing
yes.
rock, paper, scissors? You just try to psych the other guy out. You think, oh, okay, well, he threw paper last time. There's no way he'll throw it again, so
yes.
I'm going to throw paper. I mean, it happens at every level
every
of the game.
Every level, not just one level. But apparently, according to him, just this level. So they narrow down the 280 or however many people were there. They narrow it down to the top two RPS competitors.
America's top two RPS phenoms are coming onto the stage for a hands-down showdown, the greatest duel in sports.
Greatest duel in sports?
Yeah.
Wait, Super Bowl?
No.
Stanley Cup?
Wimbledon even, one-on-one?
Yeah, NBA Finals, heavyweight championship of the world, boxing?
Nope.
Any of these coming to mind? No.
Greatest duel in sports, rock, paper, scissors. Right.
There's Jamie Landshark Langridge. Oh, my goodness. He stumbles getting into the ring road.
It's not a good sign at all, Trey. He's obviously highly fatigued.
Yes.
What?
He kind of caught his foot on the rope a little. That's it.
Oh, my goodness.
My goodness.
Well, that bodes well for Borne, along with the crowd on his side. But his throw count is higher than Jamie's.
So you're saying fatigue could be an issue?
It could be.
Here we go.
Okay, so he's thrown more.
How exhausting is it to open your hand?
His throw count is higher, Bean.
How exhausting can it possibly be?
It's fatiguing. You obviously don't play. So then they get down to the end, and they've got one throw left.
It does not get any closer than this. RPS for the ages.
Engage.
Go, Rock Tie.
Rock Tie.
Oh, my God.
These players are obviously tired. You know, rock is less strenuous. It's a preformed throw.
Okay, he's telling you that to throw a rock, it's much easier than it is to throw the paper. Because
right?
You don't have to open your hand.
So that's what you do when you're tired, like boxers hanging on each other?
Yeah, you throw rocks. So they have a rock tie. And then this happens.
These players have punched themselves out.
And engage.
And paper there it is. Rocks. The paper heard around the world. Jamie Landshark Langridge has done the unthinkable. Odessa, Texas, pop your collar. It's time to party.
Okay. All right, listen.
Yes.
There's nobody in Odessa, Texas, or wherever it is, that's popping their collar.
No. No, there isn't. No one in Odessa, Texas even knows this event is going on.
They said he did the unthinkable.
Right.
And that was the paper that was heard around the world.
Guys, how unthinkable can it be? There's only three things you can throw. You can't be that surprised by any of them.
Everyone wants to touch that undefeated hand. One day we'll see it in the Rock, Paper, Scissors Hall of Fame.
Okay, that's ugly.
They're
going to put his hand in the Rock, Paper, Scissors Hall of Fame.
Cut your hand off after you win. I mean, if the guy threw a triangle or a figure eight, now you can be surprised.
And you say, unthinkable.
I didn't see that coming. Who knew he'd throw a figure eight? But if he's throwing paper, come on, that's on the menu.
Rock, paper, scissors. That's what you expect, one of those three.
Wow.
So there you go. That was the huge excitement.
That's a fantastic
event. Las Vegas.
By the way, this breakfast with Linkin Park tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know that Linkin Park fans are out there. They're dying to go. But why torture them? Why make them suffer just to get the tickets?
Fun.
Okay.
How dare you? Because they want to get the tickets. So we bring Omar in. We make him sing the songs. And then they have to identify him. And then they, you know, their ears bleed.
I'm going to petition Governor Schwarzenegger to rule this cruel and unusual punishment. I really am.
Ladies and gentlemen, Omar Roy.
Maroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm giving our listeners, like, orgasms in their ears, dude.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to be doing right now.
Is that what you call it?
This is
bleeding, Omar.
This is
ears.
A master class. Yeah, you wondered what that liquid was coming out. It's blood. This is a master class in how not to sing, is what this is, Omar.
We need a sidebar. Can we have a sidebar?
Yes.
Do it. How many pairs do we have? We just said
I think we have three. I think we have three. We better check with Super Horror, but I think we have three.
Hey, kids, how many tickets do we have for the breakfast? Three pair.
Okay.
For the day. Three pair for the day.
Oh, three pair. So how many for
We're
here?
We're going to do it twice, so probably only one here. Lisa, can you do the drawing?
Okay.
Okay. Let's begin with George in North Hollywood. Good morning, George.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
How you doing?
George is a,
a brother.
UPS driver. And here's Omar Roki. Identify this song.
It's like I'm paranoid looking over my back. It's like a whirlwind inside of my head. It's like I can't stop what I'm hearing within. It's like a face is inside beneath my skin.
So, did you say that was an orgasm?
George?
All over Southern California, my ears feel so good.
George, you translate that into the title of the Linkin Park song Omar was attempting to sing.
It's One Step Closer?
Sorry.
Not so
paper
much.
Yeah, that sounded a lot like that.
It did. It wasn't too bad, considering, you know, we're dealing with
that. That's what I'm talking about.
Kevin in La Habra, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Did you get that last one?
No, I didn't
get it. All right.
Okay.
Here is another Linkin Park song as sung by Omar Roki.
I want to heal. I want to feel what I thought was never real. I want to let go of the pain I've held so long. I want to heal.
Okay, right.
I want to feel.
All right.
God, I miss Chester. All right, Kevin, what song is that he's trying to sing?
somewhere I belong.
Nice. Yeah. You're in the drawing. Hold on. All right. Let's go to Andy in Burbank. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Omar Oki is going on. You have to identify this Linkin Park song. Go ahead, Omar.
I can't feel the way I did before. Don't turn your back on me. I won't be ignored. Time won't heal this damage anymore. Right, don't turn your back on me. I won't be ignored.
Andy, make him stop. Please make him stop.
That would be faint.
That would be faint, as a matter of fact. That was pretty good, right?
Yeah, that was all right.
You know what? I really hope Jay-Z isn't listening, because then he's going to feel bad that he didn't the collaboration with me, you know? Maybe Kanye West will want to do something with me.
Somewhere there's a guy whose alarm is going off while Omar is singing.
That's
somewhere there's some guy who really just...
he's going to have the greatest day of his life.
That is not how you want to wake up.
He thinks he's woken up in hell. Let's try Paul in West Covina. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, guys.
All right, listen up. Here's Omar Oki.
I've given I'm sick of feeling. Is there nothing you can say? Take this away.
Okay, that's
I'm
enough.
Suffocating.
Seriously. All right.
Where's my kid from yesterday with a BB gun? That's what I need right now.
Paul?
What I've done.
I don't think that's right. No.
I'm sorry.
I'm giving
the lyric is right there.
It's right there, dude.
I've given
douche
up.
Bag.
It says, I've given up. Those are the first three words, and the song title is Given Up. All right, let's go to Steve in Anaheim. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Steve.
You ready for your torture?
Yes, sir.
Or Omar Oki.
In this farewell, there's no blood, there's no alibi, because I've drawn regret. From the truth of a thousand lies.
Okay,
so let
good.
Mercy
that's good.
Come.
That's good.
And
that's
wash
good.
Away.
Steve?
What I've done.
Yes.
That's unbelievable that you got that, by the way. There's no relation in his melody to the real song's melody.
Oh, that's the part that it was supposed to sound
dead
like.
On,
yeah.
Dude. Dead on.
Let's be honest.
Oh
it was God. Nothing like that. All right. Jerry and Gardena, good morning.
Hi. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. Here's your torture.
One thing, I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind, I designed this rhyme to remind myself how I tried so hard. It's better the way you were mocking me.
Right.
Acting like I was part of your property.
Okay. Right.
Thank you, Al.
Jerry?
Man, it was hard to understand him because he was stuttering.
Yeah, well.
Well, that's what Mike Shinoda does.
No, you didn't do it anything
maybe,
like he does.
Maybe not.
What's the song?
I have no clue.
Linkin Park song. That would be In the End.
One thing, I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to remind myself.
All right.
Yeah,
good.
It was definitely a bad copy of a facsimile of a text version of that song. But thank God we don't have to hear Omar sing anymore, because I think we're done for right
That's
now.
That's it.
What do we have? We have two?
Three.
We have Kevin and La Habra, Andy in Burbank, and Steve in Anaheim.
We got three.
Yes.
Okay. And how many are we giving away?
Well, let's give away one.
Okay.
Okay.
Give one. Lisa's going to do the grand prize drawing right now. Let's find out who's going to join us for breakfast with Linkin Park and also Project Revolution tickets for that show coming up at the Hyundai with My Chemical Romance and so much more. And, of course, headlined by Linkin Park this year.
Steve in Anaheim.
Steve in Anaheim.
It's to be yep. Steve.
Congratulations, Steve. You're going to be at the breakfast.
All right.
Good
and
job.
Project Revolution, thank you. And thanks for sitting through Omar Oki.
Omar Oki, that's our game. And how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, including this morning's Primetime Emmy nominations. Any surprises, Ralph?
Not really. The usual cast of characters. A few rookies have broken through into the pack of veterans, but usually see the regular people that show up time and time again, like Tony Shalhoub for Monk. He was nominated for Best Lead Actor in a Comedy Series, as was Steve Carell as Michael Scott in The Office, of course. Alec Baldwin as Jack Donaghy on 30 Rock. He got nominated. Two and a Half Men's Charlie Sheen nominated for Best Actor in a Comedy. The one dark horse surprise, not to me, but to a lot of people, because not a lot of people have seen this show, but extras over there at HBO, Ricky Gervais got nominated for his role as Andy Millman on that show.
That's a great show.
They should give Ricky Gervais all the awards there are in showbiz.
Yeah.
I was deeply disappointed that show didn't get nominated for Best Comedy Series, because I really think it deserved it. Best Lead Actor in a Drama Series, James Spader for Boston Legal. Hugh Laurie. Oh, love him so much. On House, Dennis Leary for Rescue Me. Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini, naturally nominated for The Sopranos, and Kiefer Sutherland for 24. Best lead actor in a dramatic series is
the names we
somewhere
just heard.
There. Yeah, I just gave those. Best lead actress in a lead actress rather in a drama series, Sally Field for Brothers and Sisters.
Yeah. Yeah,
she's doing really
that exists.
Well.
That's not a show, Lisa.
Yes,
it's not, it's not on
a huge
the air.
Hit, Lisa.
Not right
yes.
now.
Everyone's watching.
It's on hiatus.
Yeah. Kira Sedgwick, once again nominated for her role in The Closer. Mariska Hargitay for Law & Order Special Victims Unit. Patricia Arquette for Medium. Minnie Driver for Riches. And Edie Falco for her final role as Carmela Soprano on The Sopranos. Best actor in a comedy series is... let me do actresses first. The best actresses in a comedy series, Felicity Huffman as Lynette on Desperate Housewives, Julie Louis-Dreyfus for Christine, The New Adventures of Old Christine, Tina Fey for 30 Rock, Ooh. Udly Betty's America Ferrara, and Mary Louise Parker
Ooh.
For Weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Best actor in a... Jeez, I'm all screwed up here.
Are you getting these through an earpiece for Mission Control, or what's going on here?
This is the most confusing list ever. We just printed this out. And
are they being translated from another language to you? Or
Best supporting actor in a comedy series. Here's what I wanted to get to. Kevin Dillon and Jeremy Piven, both nominated for Entourage. Neil Patrick Harris for How I Met Your Mother. Rainn Wilson
oh,
as
awesome.
Dwight in The Office. How well-earned is that
yep.
nomination?
Yep.
And John Cryer for 2 1/2 Men. Supporting actor in a drama series, William Shatner, once again, as Denny Crane on Boston Legal.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
T.R. Knight for Grey's Anatomy. Masioka as hey. Hero on Heroes.
Sure.
Wow. Michael Emerson as Ben from Lost, nominated for Best Supporting Actor in a Drama. How well-deserved is that nomination? Very exciting.
I forgot about Lost until you just got to his nomination. A couple years ago, that show was nominated
it
for everything.
The Emmys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terry O'Quinn, also nominated for Lost for Best Supporting
fantastic.
Actor. And Michael Imperioli, who was on The Sopranos back in the late 80s. Somehow he got nominated for The Sopranos for his role as Christopher.
So he might get that posthumously then?
Yes.
That was terrible what happened to him with that accident.
I felt
so bad about it. It was a good
Here's
guy.
Your outstanding series for comedy and drama. Entourage, The Office, 30 Rock, 2 1/2 Men, and Ugly Betty make up your nominees for Best Comedy Series. Outstanding Drama Series, Boston Legal, Grey's Anatomy, Heroes, Fox's House, and Soprano in its final farewell, getting nominated as a little goodbye gift. I bet it's going to win, too.
Yeah. I bet.
Nick Nolte, talk about your TMZ.com. We got to talk to Harvey Levin about this.
He's looking good.
Photos on that website of him hanging out in an airport in Kauai, waiting for his plane to take off. Apparently, it was delayed, so Nick decided it was time to take a nap on the floor. Passengers say he was dripping in sweat, barely able to open his bloodshot eyes. He just laid down on the terminal floor.
Man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
Drifting in and out of consciousness for more than 2 hours.
Dude.
So the passengers, being the sympathetic bunch that they were, took advantage of it and just started snapping pictures of Nick.
Yeah,
and you can see some of those photos up on TMZ.com.
Some people can hide it well.
Yeah.
He's not one of them.
Not that much booze. Not as much as he drinks. No one can hide that.
And
look
then he's
at
on that crazy vitamin regimen to keep him young and healthy,
I take
right?
vitamin B12 every day, and it keeps me young.
Didn't he, when we saw that 60 Minutes piece a couple years ago, Ralph, doesn't he give himself like 10 shots a day
yeah.
of stuff?
Yeah, of all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Amino acids,
booze.
Vitamins.
10 shots of booze.
Yeah.
Yet he won't stop smoking. Gonna live forever.
No, he can't have everything.
Smoke until the end.
Convict.
apparently, he was pretty hammered. Fellow passengers say, at one point, we had to help him put a dollar in a vending machine.
Oh,
if you're too loaded to work a vending machine,
yeah,
put down the bottle.
Yeah.
At least for a little while. Bean and Rosie O'Donnell are lovers.
Oh, how what? Dare
Wouldn't
you?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
How dare you?
Well, they have a very close connection, and the connections are getting more and more apparent every day.
We do both like women. That's something we have in common.
Both homos.
Sure. You're both gay. Well, apparently Rosie O'Donnell's been offered a role on NBC's show Friday Night Lights.
Ah.
No. Bean loves that show.
I love that show, too.
What would she do?
He kept telling us, oh, watch it, and he probably saved it single-handedly from cancellation. Now Rosie O'Donnell's going to be on it. That's how much Bean is bad.
Is it just one appearance?
No, it's going to be a a recurring character.
We don't know yet that it's going to happen. It's just been discussed at this point, I believe.
Rosie will play a soccer coach who is livid about the fact that all the school's resources are devoted to football.
You can't have a lesbian play a soccer coach. That's too unrealistic, Ralph.
Show's executive producers say she'll be in 6 or 7 episodes.
And she's so sweet. How's she going to fake that being livid? You know?
Yeah, anger. That's right.
How's she going to pull that off?
By the way, they're so behind the times. This was the plot line of my ABC After School Special when I was Cronky, the angry football player.
That's right.
The soccer coach was furious because all the school's budget in the PE department was going to football, not enough to soccer.
I have that clip.
So we had to have a soccer match in order to prove who should get more field time and get the money for uniforms and stuff. And then I bet on it with the head of the soccer team, and then he reneged on the bet.
Oh, I can't believe it.
That's not just because he was a black guy. He reneged on it.
Sure, of course.
And I didn't take it well.
So, game's in 2 days. You talk to your team?
No, I'll have to.
Then it's all set. You throw the game. Reggie, my friend, you and I are going to be rolling in the dough.
Forget it.
What are you talking about?
Look, we're playing it straight. It's going to be a fair game, start to finish.
Wrong, man. You just made it into a bloodbath.
That's right. That's what he did.
For your consideration.
Where's the Emmy for that?
Do not F with me.
You just made it a bloodbath.
I will turn into a bloodbath. That's
CSI
all you need
Miami
to know.
Right there.
Anyone smell that?
Oh. If I had sunglasses on, I would have brought them down for that moment. More Rosie O'Donnell news?
Please, excellent. No.
Apparently, Barry Manilow has asked Rosie to record a duet with him for his next album.
What? Yeah, that is true.
The connections just keep coming, people.
That is true.
They just keep a coming.
Who would ever ask her to sing with them?
I don't know.
Barry Manilow, Bean's favorite.
Wow,
so,
that
this is what
hurt
I'm saying.
Me.
Bean is perpetuating the evil that is Rosie O'Donnell. Everywhere you turn, there's a connection.
More to the case, Rosie O'Donnell is horning in on all the stuff that I love and ruining it. That's more to the point.
It's not possible to ruin Barry Manilow, by the way.
See David Letterman last night?
No.
He had on Paula Abdul.
Oh,
did he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't think she's drunk anymore.
Oh.
I think she's brain damaged.
Uh-oh. Really?
I think.
Like permanently?
I think someone hit her in the head with a ball peen hammer, and now she's just sad.
It really is more like that, because I watched that show. You do too, Kevin.
So she doesn't seem...
She's just screwed up. She can't put words together. But no, she doesn't seem like she's drunk.
Drunk would be a good defense for her.
Yes.
But she no longer has that available.
And once again, Dave asked her about it, and she denied it.
You say you're not drunk.
Not at all.
You don't drink.
Don't.
Well, then why do I think you're drunk? I mean, I don't think you're drunk now, but you know what I mean? Why am I in that group of people who think that you drink?
I just think, you know what, I think it's what you said. It's like my adorable personality. I mean, wouldn't you want me around you 24/7?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would.
That doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't. No. And he never said you have an adorable personality or anything. She just thin air.
How did she get it's my adorable personality?
No idea.
Why do I think you're drunk? Because I'm adorable.
And the greatest TV show ever is about to be put into production.
Yes.
It'll be airing on IFC. Are you familiar with the Independent Film Channel?
Yep. Sure.
They have announced that they have just acquired all of the episodes of R. Kelly's music video, Trapped in the Closet.
What?
That's what I'm talking about.
Like what?
They will be airing each of the original episodes that R. Kelly made for that and producing 10 additional brand new episodes to run as a series on IFC.
Excellent.
Now, are those 10 additional ones the ones he's working on?
I think the ones that will be released in August on CD will be the basis for the episodes that we'll see late in the run of this particular
season.
Trust
me when I tell you, find the Independent Film Channel and find this TV show. You will not believe it's real.
22 episodes it will run.
Awesome.
Every possible chapter of Trapped in the Closet, get to see it on the TV.
Remember when he
Talk
was...
Talk about Emmys.
Oh, yeah.
Next year.
Yep. All of them.
Clear the decks.
Remember when he was charged with some sort of sexual assault on a young woman about 5 years ago?
Did they have him on videotape?
Had a videotape.
Yeah, there was some peeing involved.
Yeah. Yet, still really hasn't had a trial.
Not much going on there with that.
It's been like 5 years.
Remember just like, oh, that old thing. Let's move on.
Are they waiting for the victim to die of old age before they finally bring this to trial? What's up?
I don't know. Maybe you should ask Harvey Levin about that. He might have his finger on the pulse.
He's a lawyer as well as a...
That's a good point.
I think when you get somebody who's this much of an artist, you have to cut him a little slack.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Look. Because he makes the world a more beautiful place.
Right. What are your choices? Him going to jail or more trapped in the closet?
Right.
Come on.
Trapped in the closet.
It's obvious. Today's celebrity birthday is Brian May, legendary guitarist for Queen, turned 60 years old today. Anthony Edwards, who had many popular seasons on Dr. Mark Green on ER, is 45 years old today. Jared Padalecki, who was on The Gilmore Girls, now on Supernatural on the CW. He's 25 years old today. And Commander Cody of Commander Cody and His Lost Airmen. Legendary band.
Don't know them.
But Bean does.
Yeah. Hot Rod Lincoln.
Yeah. He's 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
First, though, time to talk about TMZ.com. Our pal Harvey Levin. At least I used to think he was known as Harvey Levin until I tuned into Larry King the other night and found out that he's actually Harry Levin. Apparently, Harry Levin. Who was that judge who kept calling you Harry? I only saw a minute of that, Harvey.
And that's the deal. I mean, she's a TV court judge. And it's like, you know, lady, I do the same thing, you know, like for 100 years.
So right.
I always think those people do that just to get a rise out of the other person.
Just to be funny? Just to kind of bug
them? No, not to be funny. Just like, oh, your name is, and they know.
Yeah, sure. Who doesn't know Harvey at this point?
My ego is fine.
And large. Hey, Harvey, let me tell you something, though.
That bitch.
Let me tell you something, though, Harvey. I have been, I think in the last couple of weeks, I've been out in public and hearing people talk about things. And three different times they made mention of, oh, yeah, till TMZ gets a hold of it. Yeah, till TMZ gets a photo.
Wow.
Till TMZ gets it. It's like.
It's in the language
it's,
now.
Yeah, you're the language now for entertainment reporting.
You know, honest to God, this has been the greatest ride professionally in my life.
No kidding.
It's been amazing.
And by the way, how about busting the mayor of Beverly Hills for having a penis, by the way? Congratulations on that story. I don't think we even talked about that.
We didn't even know that was happening. They didn't tell us.
For folks who didn't get the reference, Entourage last Sunday night, TMZ.com plays a crucial point in the storyline, and
that's right.
You didn't even cooperate. You didn't know anything about that till it aired, huh, Harvey?
After it aired, somebody called me up and said, you got to look at this thing, and somebody blue-linked it to me.
That was awesome. All right, a couple things we need to talk to you about, Harry. First off, we talk about TMZ making the news. You really were in the news mainstream this week because of the incident between one of your photographers and the CSI star. What happened?
Well, you know, and this I'm being deadly serious about. Gary Darden is an asshole. And
legal opinion.
He is a thug. He is a terrorist. And we are pushing to get this guy prosecuted. He was outside of Hyde actually yesterday at 3:00 in the morning. And one of my photographers, it was his first day on the job.
Oh, no.
This nice kid. He's standing there, and Darden walks up to him and says, turn that camera off. So the guy actually kind of puts the camera toward the ground. And the bottom line is, this asshole jumps him, pounds his head into the pavement 3 or 4 times, And then my guy thinks his camera is broken because it is broken, but it was still rolling so you could hear everything that was happening. And for 15 minutes, he is kind of running away. Darden was on a motorcycle. He comes back. He decides, I didn't hurt this guy enough. So he comes back, and he starts following him down the street. And my guy is screaming, taxi, get me, please somebody get me to a hospital. And this guy is following him and taunting him and chasing him. And he finally gets in a cab, and it's almost like Darden and his entourage, because he had a town car with him, they were kind of like telling the cab driver, oh, he's my friend, almost to get him out of the cab.
Right.
And this guy is like pleading for his life. And it was just a brutal, unbelievably unprovoked attack. So yesterday, like at the end of the day, we had been calling for a response from his rep all day long. So yesterday, his rep, another asshole, says, oh, this was a minor incident, and he and Gary just wants his privacy, and it was overblown by the paparazzi.
Oh,
what?
A minor incident, pounding somebody's head into the pavement and then chasing them when they're wounded, and it was and he wants his privacy. He's outside Hyde.
Right.
He is outside Hyde at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
This guy needs to go to jail.
Harvey,
I'm really pissed off about
this. I can tell. And by the way, I don't blame you, you know, for looking out for your people, but no charges, no police involvement at all in this?
No. This guy went to the police department. I called the police department yesterday and made it really clear we will cooperate in any way, and we really want this guy prosecuted.
We have a little bit of the audio from your guy in the taxi cab.
Rocky, take me to the Rocky. Dude, put out the windows. Put out the windows. Don't let this guy stop. Go. Do not let this guy. Dude, get me away from this guy. Get me away from this guy. Dude, bust a U-turn. They're trying to kill me. Go. Just get me away from this guy, taxi.
Dude,
that's rough. Wow. Now, do you have any idea what the motivation was from Gary Dorden? Why was he so incensed about getting his photo taken?
You know, I don't know. I mean, this guy never worked for us for a day. And we don't. Listen, I mean, we have really strict rules at TMZ.
Right.
You know, we don't chase people. We don't break the law. We don't invade privacy. I mean, I've had meetings with all the cameramen. You know, we really care about that.
Do you think it was mistaken identity? Like he thought he was someone else?
No, you know what my honest opinion is? He's an effing asshole.
Yeah.
I don't think he was supposed to be at Hyde at 3 a.m. And there's someone he didn't want to know he was at Hyde at 3 a.m. That's my guess.
That could be, too.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, and that, you know what? Honestly, that's sometimes the case. Yeah. But whatever it is, you could hear he took joy in this. I mean, again, who does something like that? Who pounds somebody's head into the pavement? He could have killed him,
yeah,
and then decides, you know, I'm going to go back and terrorize him.
Wow.
Yeah. Only Sean Penn. I mean, other than Sean Penn, no one else does that. You're right about that. Look, if there's one thing I've learned in my years in this business, you don't mess with the hammer. You know
what I'm saying?
You don't cross Harry. You know what I'm saying?
Harvey.
Harvey. Yeah. Harvey. Yeah, exactly. Well, definitely keep us posted on this because that is that's ugly. I mean, I know there's, you know, a certain amount of risk involved in the work that your people do, but no one deserves this. That's for sure.
And you know what? And this is the kind of thing. If CSI keeps this guy on, they're insane.
Which guy is he? Which role is he on that show?
He's the black guy.
Yeah.
He's the black guy on the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He's good on the show. Good actor. But
if it's a cameo, he just plays an asshole.
All right, Harvey. Well, listen, man, thank you very much for the update. Continued success. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Thank you, Harvey.
Bye.
We're going to have to get some sort of a splash guard or something for Psycho Mike. This week is too much for him.
Yeah.
So yesterday, Quentin Rampage Jackson in the studio in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. In fact, right now, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Rogan joining us here at K-Rock.
Yes.
Two of Mike's all-time man crushes back-to-back on consecutive days here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
I'm
so
honored.
Good. And by the way, Lisa, not too sorry to see either.
I'm right behind Mike there.
I got to tell you, Joe, we had Rampage on yesterday, and he would talk to Bean and I in a certain very disinterested manner.
He was professional. He was fine.
Sure.
And then when he would speak to Lisa, all changed.
Hey, baby.
He had the eye contact thing.
Wow. Thing changed.
And just, yeah.
He was looking
charming
for a new baby mama is what he was looking for.
He's a predator.
By the way,
more ways than one.
You know all those guys.
He's a great guy. Rampage is awesome.
Is he like the coolest? Like the kind of, he's one of the guys who comes and you go, man, I would so hang with that dude.
Yeah, he's fun to hang out with. He's a really funny guy. He's like a really cool, funny guy who happens to be a trained killer.
Yeah, yeah. You don't see a lot of fighters. You don't see a lot of fighters that are funny.
He's the funniest by far. There's a few guys. They a lot of fighters have a weird sense of humor. You know, they have like a gallows humor.
Right, sure.
You know, and that's actually how I got into comedy in the first place. You know, it's from talking to guys at the gym and making them laugh. You know, that's exactly how I started stand-up comedy.
That's what you used for your pickup line was humor at the gym?
Not pickup line. Seemed to be some wires crossed here.
It was so funny,
though. How did you take me down that road?
Because he's like laughing and joking around at everything. And then I made some comment about how Psycho Mike said he could take him, you know, because you know how Mike is. He talks about everybody. Oh, I could totally take that dude down. And Rampage turned like on a dime, and he put on a death stare that really it hurt you to see the way he was looking at you. I mean, it really was frightening.
I think normal human beings would die just from the look.
I think so.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you made your living fighting guys in a cage?
I mean,
that's how you have to feed your kids. That's how you have to look forward to your future.
Yeah.
You have to fight grown men throwing their bones at you in
a
cage.
No, that's not good.
Yeah, and speaking of his kids, by the way, that was a funny moment when
he's got a gang of them.
He's got a gaggle. This was off the air. We could say this now that Rampage is far enough away from the radio station, we'd have to worry about him turning around and coming back and killing
Kevin. For sure, this is not what he listens to.
No. Yeah, I hope not, yeah. So, big boy, don't repeat this story, all right? Don't blame us. So, Kevin says, how many kids you got? He says, I don't know, he's got 20 or whatever he's got. And he says, he's got two 7-year-olds. And Kevin said, oh, wow, twins? He said, no.
And then it occurred to me it was separate mothers. So I thought,
it was
separate
mothers, and one of them, the mothers, was his wife.
All right.
So not so
like,
good.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Whoopsies.
Happens. What are you going to do?
What a faux pas.
Joe Rogan is here doing some stand-up. Going to be at a place called, over at the Roosevelt Hotel. You're at the Spot tomorrow night.
Yeah. You know, they're trying to do comedy at the Roosevelt Hotel, and I've been looking for a new place to perform in L.A., like something different. It was always at the Comedy Store for so long, and so this Roosevelt Hotel thing, I did it one night. It's really fun. It's a great room. It's an awesome setup. It's like tiered seat. It's like a real comedy club somehow or another inside the Roosevelt Hotel.
I saw a show there like, 7 years ago. It was somebody singing, but there was a lot of comedy involved, and it's a great space.
Yeah, I saw someone singing there too. I had a friend of mine who was in this acting class, and his acting teacher was doing show tunes, all show tunes. Uh-huh. And it was fabulous. It was fantastic.
You said, I want to be there.
Yeah, because it was a gay guy that was pretending to not be gay his whole life. I mean, it's like he was talking about his wife and his children, but he was so clearly gay.
Yeah.
And so he was choosing show tunes, and that's what he was singing. They were horrible.
That's
horrible.
How he was shouting
songs.
His heterosexuality.
It was fantastic.
Show tunes.
I was high as a kite. And to me, it was just like the most wonderful movie that I could ever see in my life. I hugged my friend afterwards. Thank you for bringing me to this. It was fantastic. I was biting my hands. I was almost bleeding because I was trying not to laugh while it was going on.
Is it
wonderful.
Tough for a hotel that's been around for 80 years or whatever, the Roosevelt's been there, to kind of change up their image and get young people to think about going there as a nighttime destination? Because they always have been like a piano bar. That's been their thing.
I didn't know about that the Roosevelt even existed until I went to see this show tunes thing there like 3 years ago. So I had no idea.
Kidding.
And now I know. I hear that it's like this young Hollywood hangout
thing. Kind of is a hip place.
And it was fun. To the comedy club there is fantastic. It's a really awesome setup.
And you're going to be doing show tunes?
Yeah. Yes.
So,
is there a problem?
No, that's good.
So $20 tomorrow night on Friday the 20th at 10 o'clock, you'll be on stage at the Spot at the Roosevelt Hotel, which is right there in the heart of Hollywood Boulevard. 7000 Hollywood Boulevard is the address.
Yeah, it's me and my two best friends in the world. Two of my best friends, Joey Diaz and Ari Shaffir, two hilarious comedians. So it's going to be a lot of
very
fun.
Cool.
Fantastic. Right, we got to take a quick break, and there's a lot of other stuff going on that we need Joe's take on, and we'll
Thank
do that
God.
Right after this on the world famous.
Stop, this is Joe Rogan.
This is the f***ing Fear Factor guy.
I thought that thing was going to be canceled immediately.
4 years later, I'm standing in front of a chick with a mouthful of animal going, "You can do it, you hang in there!" Your son has got a glazed look in his eyes, his boner's poking out of his choo-choo train PJs, and he's trying to f*** your cat. Don't you think you might want to have a sit-down with that little dog?
Nobody ever f***s off and feels like a winner. Nobody ever f***s off and goes, "Yeah!
Woo!"
This is my list of f***ing to do today. Let me check that right the f*** off. Joe Rogan.
Joe is in our studio this morning on K-Rock. You can see him tomorrow night at the Spot at the Roosevelt Hotel, 7000 Hollywood Boulevard at 10 o'clock. Just $20 to see the great Joe Rogan, 310-566-7595. And then Joe and I are getting a domestic partnership, and we're moving to Hawaii together.
Is that right?
Moving to Hawaii. We've decided. We just decided during that last song that we're moving to Hawaii. It's the place to be.
I was here.
We just
got
to fight off the natives.
Yeah, exactly.
They're trying to claim land.
So we had something interesting come up during the song that I think is worth revisiting, and that is Kevin, who for years has been blasting my favorite sport, baseball, as being boring.
Because it blows.
Now finds out.
It does
out,
blow. They both blow.
Thank you.
Baseball rules, first of all, Joe Rogan.
That's
rules.
Confusing in my mind. I just calculated it. No. It's a bunch of grown men trying to hit a ball with a stick and a bunch of dummies watching it. It's one thing to like be the guy trying to hit the ball with a stick. I guess it's a difficult endeavor.
Right.
Like maybe you might want to do it, try it. You know, like, oh, I hope I can hit the ball today. You know, but to actually watch a bunch of guys hit a ball with a stick.
So yeah.
But I'm a hypocrite because I watch professional pool on TV. All right, so there you go.
Then you have pool. Zero room
wow.
to talk.
Okay,
so I know.
Did you see the Rock, Paper, Scissors championship this week?
I saw a glimpse of it in a bar, and I went, what the hell is that?
Yep.
Someone told me.
That's the show. On ESPN2 from
sounds
Vegas.
Sounds like some quality programming.
Yeah. So Kevin makes fun of the baseball, and then Joe comes in and just decks him out by saying soccer is even more boring than baseball, and Kevin likes soccer, and now he's
gay.
Confused.
First of all, I love soccer.
Gay.
Second of all, it's not anywhere near as boring as baseball. baseball is basically played between a pitcher and a catcher. That's it, two guys.
They're both
at least
pretty
the
brutal
soccer
to
ball
watch.
Keeps moving.
Yeah, but they don't use their hands, and that's anti-evolutionary. The reason why we're not monkeys anymore is because we use our thumbs. We pick things up and we move them around.
Right, but we can choose
not
to,
Joe. That's why we evolved. That's why we came down out of the trees and explored, you know, the rest of the world.
But nine guys on the team in baseball don't do anything with anything.
I don't care about those guys.
All right. But what Joe's saying, Kevin, is why have the opposable thumb if you're not going to use it, if you're just going to use your feet to hit the ball?
Exactly. It's ridiculous. I mean, it makes sense if you live in a third world country and you got to roll a tape for a ball and, you know, you're kicking it around the grass and there's nothing else to do.
Soccer's a great game.
Okay, whatever,
I feel like
dude.
I'm on my own
you
with that one.
You can't
no,
just
I like
say
soccer.
That.
I like
it's
it
a great game to you.
It
to
is
me,
to me,
it sucks. You know, if I had to choose between watching soccer for 5 hours every day for the rest of my life or spending a year in jail, my choice would be very clear.
What about soccer and baseball, though?
What about together? Some
5 hours
of a, crazy...
a day, you have to watch one or the other.
Hey, play baseball with a soccer ball.
Kickball. Would that be cool?
I guess I would just let my mind wander, just think of jokes or something, come up with other things to do.
What do you make of the forced celebrity in Los Angeles of David Beckham all of a sudden?
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that,
huge
too.
Star, huge star before he got here. I don't know if he's going to be a huge star here or not.
We are not going to embrace soccer. We're not going to embrace the metric system, and we're not going to embrace soccer. Stop it. Let it go.
Just
give
it up.
Away. We're not going to start measuring things in stone. You know, 15 stone or whatever they do over there. It's not gonna happen. American stars, just for whatever reason, you know, and I'm not a nationalist or a patriot or anything. For whatever reason, we translate into European markets and into England, the UK. Mm-hmm. But they don't translate over here for the most part.
Did you see the Victoria Beckham?
Doesn't translate? No, I didn't see it.
Special? No. I didn't either. Bean saw it. He kind of thought she had a good sense of humor about it, but... I didn't much care.
A lot of the reviews did not pick up on that.
Yeah. All the other thing I heard is that she has horrible feet.
Horrible feet?
Somebody told me that she was trying on shoes and she had awful feet. And I'm like, okay.
That's great news.
I'm going to file that away. I'll put it right there.
Joe Rogan, who is the hottest chick in the world?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know. I have no idea.
Do you agree that when the lists come out and they have your Jessica Alba near the top, your Scarlett Johansson near the top?
Those are pretty hot ones. Yeah. But sure. I bet that, you know, to me, they're celebrities. So a celebrity female to me might as well be one of those little Ethiopian boys covered in dog poo with flies all around them.
See if I can figure that out.
They're not attractive to me.
Because they're famous?
Yeah, the whole actress thing, and, you know, again, completely hypocritical because, you know, I've acted and, you know. Done all that other
sort
stuff.
Of.
But I just sort of did sitcom acting. But I've met too many of them that are crazy, and I'm sure a bunch of them aren't. I'm sure the percentage that are crazy, it's only like 90%.
Sure.
Which means, you know,
give
out of every 100, there's 10 that are super cool, and that's probably very reasonable. And I've met a lot of them that are really cool, but it's just, for the most part, that whole business just fosters such a crazy narcissism and this crazy, like, I mean, there's the whole support group of people that are running around to kiss these people's ass and get them what they need. And
yeah.
We were talking about like how much time, like we were talking about makeup people during the break.
They have teams.
Yeah, it's insane.
Teams of people with them all the time.
So they're too honked up because of their job.
Life
they're
is
too
short,
honked up.
Man. Life is short. And to spend time worrying about that kind of stuff and to spend time hanging out with people that's on their list is like what's important is, you know, winning awards and getting in this movie and doing this project. And like, whoa, that's too crazy.
Yeah.
But there have to have been times where you've had the opportunity to nail a hot celebrity chick.
I right away. Well, you know what? I never did any acting classes. I never took any acting.
Well,
whatsoever.
That's obvious.
Never did any. I hear you. But and so I had no knowledge of any actors at all until I moved to California. Until I was on news radio,
and
I was actually on a show before news radio called Hardball, which was a complete nightmare. It was a show that was on Fox. It was a terrible show that was on for like 6 episodes, and it was a really fascinating show because it was a great pilot. These guys wrote this pilot, and then Fox came in and hired a bunch of like hacks to doctor it up and make it more acceptable. And the guys who wrote it, they wrote for The Simpsons, they wrote for Married with Children. They're really funny
writers. You know what they're doing, right?
Jeff Martin and Kevin Curran, these guys. And when I started doing it, I was like, dealing with actors was so insane. I was like, these people are crazy. And like right away. So my initial introduction to actors like immediately was like, I don't want to have nothing to do with these people. I didn't want to be friends with them. I just wanted to get
and
away from
the
them
guys
as much
too?
As possible.
Guys
oh,
on the
just
way.
Monster high maintenance humans with, you know, just so unbalanced. Their view of the world was just so weird, you know.
So, in other words, there aren't a lot of Tom Hankses out there.
There's not a lot. You know, and there are some. There's some cool – my friend Brian Callen, who's an actor, is one of my best friends on the planet. He's been in Sex and the City and a bunch of different things. He's a great, great guy. He's a really balanced, intelligent, philosophical guy. But there's so few of them. There's so few. Most of them are crazy.
Do you think if you were better at acting, you could have turned into one of those crazy guys? Those crazy narcissistic guys?
Better at it? I put zero pursuit into acting. The only reason why I did any acting is because they offered me money.
Sure. Hey, that was blamed you there.
I thought you were good on news radio. I watched you before I ever met you.
That kind of act, I don't know if it's harder to act and do emotional stuff. It's not difficult. It's pretend. It's make-believe. To me, it's maddening that people who make-believe for a living are treated with this insane respect. I mean, so many people can name Academy Award winners. So very few people can name Nobel Prize winners. And that's weird. That's a weird thing. I mean, there's all these people that are inventing. Who invented the cell phone? Who invented Bluetooth? Who invented?
Well, that was Antonio Banderas. He invented Bluetooth.
What?
I mean, you think about the stuff that we know and the stuff that we don't know. It's very strange. Yeah. We're a weird culture.
That is the voice of Joe Rogan, by the way, tomorrow night at The Spot at the Roosevelt Hotel if you want to see some stand-up for just $20. Hey, speaking of news radio, and I forgot about this, but have you been following the feud?
Yeah.
John Lovitz versus Andy Dick. It turned into a knockdown drag-out the other night.
It got ugly. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
You know those guys?
Yeah, very well.
I mean, still?
Yeah. There was a huge problem when John Lovitz first came onto the show. Because if anybody doesn't know, John Lovitz came on news radio right after Phil Hartman was murdered by his wife and this murder-suicide thing. And John Lovitz was very good friends with Phil Hartman. They were best friends. And so having him on the show to a lot of us was like – it was like embracing Phil. It was like, we're going to just carry on with his best friend. And,
right.
You know,
yeah.
And Andy and John never got along. They got along in spurts and there was some problems, and who knows what the root of it all was. And
but
I
years later, for it to turn into a fight?
Andy's crazy.
A physical fight?
Andy's crazy. Andy's crazy, and apparently he had been drinking when it happened.
No, Andy Dick was drinking?
I know. It sounds crazy.
Anybody that John Lovitz can pick up and throw to the ground. I mean,
yeah. Well,
what kind of a fight is that?
Somebody said on my message board that, John Lovitz kicked Andy Dick's ass. Like, that's the only time you'll ever see that John Lovitz kicked fill in the blank. It's so simple. There's only one name. It's only one name that it's even physically possible, and that's Andy Dick.
He probably thought, this is my chance to kick someone's ass right now.
She said, John Lovitz kicked, someone else.
How about an undercard for UFC 74? Come on, get it out there and settle it in the cage, like men.
Andy's not a bad guy. He just gets crazy, and if Andy had to sit down with John and someone else and they all talked it out, it would be fine for a little while, and then Andy would get all hooched up one night and still do the same thing.
Yeah,
he likes pushing people's buttons.
Yeah.
And he's hilarious. He's a wacky dude. It was working with that guy was like working with a human cartoon.
That's
it's like,
true.
Wow, you're real, man.
That's the guy that had his ex and his girlfriend living in the house
in
at the same time.
Yeah.
That's a bad plan right there.
Well, they need to go on Dr. Phil and get that sorted out. Call 310-566-7595 to see Joe Rogan at The Spot at the Roosevelt tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Hey, Ralph's going to do the showbiz beat, including the Emmy nominations next. You want to stick around for that,
Hell
Joe?
Yeah.
And we'll be right back after this on K. It's Joe Rogan here for a few moments more. Ralph Garman now joins us with the showbiz beat. And today, big day in Hollywood for actors, huh, Ralph?
Actors like to pat themselves on the back, be it television or movies. And this is the time of the year where the television industry does it. The Emmys were announced today. And here are some of the nominations, some of the big ones anyway. Same. Outstanding lead actor in a comedy series, Ricky Gervais for Extras. Tony Shalhoub, who is a perennial nominee in this category for Monk. Does anyone really watch Monk? Or
no.
They just nominate him
for stuff?
I thought
you liked
Just critics.
Monk.
I saw it like the first season back in the late 80s when it first came on television. I watched a couple
You're
times.
You're the only person
good.
I ever knew who was
I've
a big
seen
fan.
A couple episodes of it, but it's not that great. But he gets nominated every single
he
year
does.
Like clockwork.
So
like
the USA Network.
He was really good in Wings.
He was really good in Wings.
Nobody was really good in Wings.
Maybe it's a carryover. It's a halo effect. Maybe that's why he's still being nominated.
What's his name? Thomas?
Thomas Hayden Church.
He was very good in Wings.
Yeah, he was good.
So you can't say nobody was good in Wings.
All right.
Sorry, Thomas Hayden. I spaced on your name.
Steve Carell in The Office.
Sure.
Alec Baldwin in 30 Rock. And Charlie Sheen in 2.5 Men.
Thank God.
Yeah. Finally, someone's recognizing the talent that is Charlie Sheen.
That's a bizarre show to watch when you're baked.
That's the only way you can watch it.
When you're baked, you're like, whoa, what planet is this taking place on? And what are these people laughing at?
Yeah,
that's so strange. It's so strange.
Best lead actor in a dramatic series, James Spader for Boston Legal. Hugh Laurie, who was amazing over there on House. Dennis Leary for Rescue Me.
James Gandolfini for his swan song as Tony Soprano on The Sopranos, and Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer on 24. Outstanding lead actress in a comedy, Felicity Huffman for Desperate Housewives, Julia Louis-Dreyfus for New Adventures of Old Christine. She won last year, believe it or not.
It's a great
show. Is that
show.
Just nobody from The Shield? Nobody
great,
from The Shield?
That's what I was asking.
That's
Michael
ridiculous.
Chiklis, at least.
I'm thinking, you know, Shield took a big break when it wasn't on television. I think that must have happened while this voting period was on. Because
that show rules.
I don't see it nominated for anything.
That's
I can't
ridiculous.
Imagine that.
That is
case.
One of my favorite shows, too.
That's
so
ridiculous.
Good. Tina Fey from 30 Rock nominated.
Look, okay. I
is that
love
a bell of approval.
I love Tina Fey. You guys
that's
know
a space
that
space filler in the nominations.
No.
They got to pick five.
You know, I love her, and she's the creator and chief writer on that show. And I think the show is funny. She is really kind of the weakest link in the cast, though. I mean, in terms of acting, don't you guys think?
Absolutely. Whoa, we just came down hard on Tina Fey.
You did.
You know, this is on the radio, right?
You know this, right? But I still love her.
America Ferrera as Ugly Betty and Mary Louise Parker over there on Weeds. Lead actress in a drama, Sally Field on Brothers and Sisters.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
No. Yes.
That
what
shows
brothers
that. And sisters? That's what we're
that's
saying.
That's what we said.
There is no such show.
Funk. That is
Rachel
complete.
Griffith.
This is a new show?
No, it's been on a season now.
No,
it's a show that Lisa
network?
Made up in her mind.
Yeah, I did not.
And somehow so campaigned.
Is a real show?
Campaigned to get the Emmys to say yes.
I don't know.
It's on ABC.
ABC.
Wow. I'm out of it. I'm out of the loop.
You and us both.
It's like in the top 10.
Oh, stop.
No, it isn't.
In your imagination.
I swear to God.
I will bet you $5 it's not in the top 10.
Top 10 on your TiVo list.
It's American? On hiatus now.
$5 American? Wow. You guys go crazy here in the morning, huh? Maybe you'll cut back on the coffee, fella.
Kira Sedgwick on The Closer. Mariska Hargitay and Law & Order.
Law & Order's been on for a million years.
Yeah, this is SVU. This
and
is
every, year. Yeah, there's five of them.
Every now and then you see an old Law & Order repeat when they have those gigantic brick cell phones.
Yeah, I love that.
Like, how long has Law & Order been around, man? That's crazy.
Trish Arquette from Medium, Minnie Driver from The Riches, and Edie Falco.
Medium?
From
that show's still on?
Yeah. Yeah, that's on too.
Damn.
So there's
we
just
gotta get Joe a TV.
Some of your nominees.
I know, what the hell?
I only watch things that are good? Bizarre.
Oh.
I watch nature shows mostly.
Here's the greatest showbiz story I've ever heard.
Ever?
Just broke today. Kevin Federline.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, this week, sat down with the program director of KISS FM in Los Angeles.
What?
Yes.
What?
In a conversation about KFED becoming a DJ on that station.
Oh, my God.
Hell yeah. KFED, tell us about the world. I hope they don't play music. I hope he just gets to talk.
A source told Us Magazine, I know he's going to do some stuff at the station. He had an interview at KISS. He's in talks to be a DJ there. A KISS source confirms the meeting, but calls the discussions informal. However, they did add, he really wants to be on the radio. He's made that clear.
I like that dude because that's one for team male. You know, for years, the only thing we had on our side was Tom Arnold. That was the only time a dude ever came in and married into money and got paid.
Yeah, that's true.
Until Kevin Federline came along, and then Kevin Federline did it with a hot chick, you know, so bonus. The dude's a pimp.
You know? Hard to argue.
It's hard to argue, right?
He is a pimp.
I mean, if you look at it the other way around, I mean, it's been going on, you know, the natural
every
way
day
with males and females forever.
Yep.
Kevin Federline wants to be in radio. Oh. I know we've been looking for a sports guy
get
in our show for
here,
some time.
Man. Get him in here.
K-Fed on K-Rock.
Come on.
Seems like a natural fit to me.
Sounds right. Sounds too good.
And in case you missed it, today is the release day of the autobiography of American Idol Season 5 winner Taylor Hicks.
Really?
You can pick that up in bookstores today.
Really?
He wrote a book?
Heart Full of Soul. An inspirational memoir about finding your voice and finding your way by Taylor Hicks is available today.
Is that
today.
The dude that's gone gray and he's really young?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's that
like
all about?
Like 22, right? Or something
he's
like that?
He's
30.
30, I
30,
think.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
We that's need to call crazy. A bookstore in a week and see if one copy of that book has been sold.
Shouldn't
one.
You have to have had lived a life before you write your autobiography?
Something happened that made his hair turn gray.
I mean,
maybe that's chapter one.
We'll
get maybe.
That dude on a couch hypnotize him.
I mean, really, he was on a reality TV show for a season. That's the extent of what people are interested in about him. How's that a book?
Chapter one.
Don't hate, man. He's just trying to get paid.
What's Paula. The big
deal? Oh, there you go. There's some of that.
There you go. So if you can't get Harry Potter this weekend, you know, if they're out of those in your local bookstore, you can pick up the Taylor Hicks.
Sure.
And lastly, do yourself a favor. Go over to TMZ.com and take a look at the photographs of Nick Nolte lying on the floor at the airport. It's spectacular. Apparently, he was in Hawaii and his plane was delayed. Fellow passenger said he was dripping in sweat, barely able to open his bloodshot eyes.
So he chose to lay down on the cool terminal floor.
Oh, man.
Nice. He was drifting in and out of consciousness for more than 2 hours. We can't know for sure if he was under the influence of something, but a fellow passenger said, at one point, I had to help him put a dollar in a vending machine.
Well, that's a sign you're in trouble.
You know,
they
that can
use
be
that
difficult.
Instead of a breathalyzer.
Yeah,
they
can use a really crumply dollar. And people right. always want to help you. When people see you doing a dollar in the vending machine, they're always like, give me it. I can do it. Everybody always thinks they can do it. This could be a blown out of proportion story. I've met Nick Nolte. He's a good man. Let's stop right here.
He's crazy, though, isn't he?
First came Kevin Federline, then Taylor Hicks, now Nick Nolte.
You're coming down on all your heroes, man.
Take a look at the photos, and then you be the judge.
Yeah,
let's show Joe the photos from TMZ and see how he feels.
You guys are aggressors.
This is like a cage match in here, man. This is a cage match of radio. You know, you've seen it. You've been on the. You know, it's like watching us in the cage.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's just like it.
Celebrity birthdays today. Brian May from Queen is 60 years old today. Anthony Edwards, of course, from ER is 45. And Jared Padalecki. Who still really has to consider a name change if he wants to stay in this business. He was on Gilmore Girls. Now he's on Supernatural. He's 25 years old today. Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, we have an internship program here at K-Rock. We don't talk about it much, but you can go to krock.com. If you're a college student, you can get credit and you're interested maybe in learning something about radio or taking a crack at Lisa May, which is the sure. main reason a lot of guys apply to be interns here. But you can go to krock.com and check it out. But we enjoy meeting the new crop of interns every season. Yesterday, I guess we met Shaolin Robot.
Sure.
Had her in, found out some curious things about her. Today, the spotlight is on Gator, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, Gator,
Gator joined us here.
Welcome to K-Rock. Gator.
And we call Gator Gator because he's out here from Florida. Where? Gainesville?
Gainesville, Florida.
And is that where the University of Florida is?
Yes, sir, it is.
And you go to the University of Florida, and you are?
I am a full-time student there.
And you are?
The mascot.
The mascot. Yeah. He is okay. the Gator, ladies and gentlemen. He's the Florida Gator.
That's awesome.
That's a weird gig.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's only one guy that does that at school, right? How do you get into that?
Well, actually, it runs in my family, believe it or not. My older brother also was the mascot at the University of Florida. So it was kind of
How does that work?
Is there a legacy program for mascots?
It's kind of like this inner circle fraternity where, you know, you have to know someone to get in.
But a lot of people must apply for it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot more than you would
be crazy.
A lot more than you would think, like at least four or five.
Yeah, sure.
But Gator, why? Look, we've all been to sporting events, we've all watched sporting events, and we've all thought the same thing. That poor schmuck who's out there in 100 degrees running around in a goddamn turtle outfit or whatever you're wearing, why does somebody want to be a football mascot?
You know, it's the same reason you look at a guy cheerleader and you're like, why would you want to be a guy cheerleader and have everyone make fun of you?
But at least with guy cheerleaders, you have girl cheerleaders.
You do, but you actually...
As the Gator, what do you have?
We also have a female mascot.
No.
Yeah, we
there's
do.
A female Gator,
there's
too?
There's Albert and Alberta.
Oh,
my God.
Wow. A lot of work
you
went into that name.
Just for Alberta?
No, I don't actually, because she is not hot. That's why that's why she wears the costume.
I see. Okay.
Now, tell Bean who your brother is.
My older brother is the Seahawk mascot,
no
Blitz.
No kidding.
Yeah. So,
what's his name?
Blitz.
Blitz.
Yeah.
That's
creative,
the Seahawk.
Creative people.
Very
they
good.
Have up in Seattle.
Yes.
So, what are the, I mean, is this common? Are there a lot of families that have more than one mascot?
In our 10-year span, we've actually only met one other family that had like a father and son that did it. But it's this type of thing where it's so much fun and you would never know about it. And for someone like me who isn't big enough to be a cheerleader and you're not fit and you don't want to wake up at 4 in the morning.
And you can't be a football player. Right.
Yeah, well, right? That definitely. I mean, I don't want to be the kicker. But
it doesn't seem like fun, though. I mean, it seems like you're wearing a costume.
A lot of fun because you kind of get to have this celebrity persona and not deal with the rest of the stuff, you know? And you can go somewhere and everyone knows you. I mean, you walk in, as Albert, you walk into somewhere and people just gravitate to you. They want to take your picture. Some girls want to sleep with you.
Right.
Some
there
guys want to sleep with
that
you.
That was my question. Have you ever, be honest, has your status as the Florida Gator ever been directly responsible for you getting laid?
One time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes! But you had to take the costume off, though, which must have been a real disappointment
actually,
to the girl.
Actually, I kept it on.
How did that work?
You know, it was at a baseball game, and I gave this girl my number because she was just flirting with me. She started touching. I was like, you know what? This only happens once.
Ah, booze.
So,
but did she know what you even looked like inside the costume?
She said, I don't care what you look like. I would take you home tonight.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. So.
Now, once you graduate, assuming you do, then are you going to be all bummed out that you can't do it anymore? Or are you going to apply for a job as a pro mascot? Maybe you can be the San Diego Chicken or something,
you know,
for the rest of your life.
Some mascots actually make like six figures. I mean,
I was going to say,
yeah,
is it a full-time job?
They don't. Yeah, how do they make six figures?
Because you don't think about how many people pay for a mascot to come to their event, come to their wedding.
Oh.
My brother just did a wedding. He came to a bar in Seattle, just these redneck, I don't know how they got to Seattle, but they were in Seattle, and he went to a bar, and they asked him to break into the wedding and reject that he wanted to break them up, and he wanted Blitz to wed these two people. They were that big of Seahawks fan. They had,
wow,
like, tattoos. And
did they deport those people immediately?
I wish.
Yeah. Well, they might allow them to get married. They should not allow those two to have babies, though. I'll tell you that. Now, I do know what you're talking about is true, because I know also in Seattle, the moose, who, mm-hmm, is the mascot for the Seattle Mariners, which, by the way, makes no sense because Mariners, you're out on a boat. What's a moose doing on a boat? I don't know why they chose a moose. But he does all sorts of parties. He's doing schools.
Yeah.
He's doing hospitals. He's doing.
And every time they do that, not only does the organization get paid, but he gets paid.
I see.
So
wow.
You're getting your full-time like job with your baseball games or your football games. Plus, all these requests, you're running in, I mean, big-time money, at least $100 every appearance, like, minimum. You can go for 15 minutes, take three pictures with little Joey,
right,
and then you just bank like that.
Right.
We don't have any local mascots for pro teams, do we? Angels, Dodgers, Lakers, Clippers?
You got the Lakers. Lakers is big-time. Don't you guess of the Gorilla? Or
no, the Gorilla's Phoenix.
Phoenix, that's right.
Yeah. I don't think we have any. We have USC Trojan, UCLA,
right,
Bear.
Trojan's a big – I mean, he has a lot of appearances.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
We don't have any pro
that's
ones.
That's interesting.
But there are a lot of people in this city who have to wear costumes to work.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. This is what you do. You go to bar mitzvahs or birthday parties.
Well, I mean, and every time there's a, you know, a Barney show or something like that, there's always some poor schmuck in the suit.
Remember when we got Barney beat up?
I do. I do.
We were mocking the guy that had to put the Barney suit on, and he was, I think, at
Universal
or someplace,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that. And a bunch of kids ran out and said, they heard him on Kevin and Bean. They jumped him and beat him up.
Oh,
good times.
See, that's the thing, is that I would never want to be a mascot that's like a bootleg. Like, you want to be like the SpongeBob at, you know, a carnival or
right,
something.
Right.
I would never want to
but
do that.
But that's who most of these people are.
No, absolutely. And that's the worst job, because then you're sweaty, you're smelly, you stink, and no one wants to sleep with you because you're SpongeBob.
Yeah, that's a good
the OC
point.
Fair.
All right. You heard what Gator does. He is the Florida Gator. You've heard the discussion that we're having. We're looking for other people that wear. Now, is it a full, like, including a head costume? Is that what we're
I
looking for?
I think so. I mean, I think so. I think like Disneyland, there are a bunch of people that work there, you know.
Okay. So that's what we're looking for. Maybe you're one of those people working down at the happiest place on earth. Give us a call if you're working in a costume, 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your stories when we come back in the World Famous Gator. We're talking to Gator. He is a new intern for the summer on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's out here from Gainesville, Florida, where one of the things that he does, besides go to school there, is work as the Gator. He's actually the guy out on the football team. You got a pretty good team, too, right?
Oh, yeah. National champions.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Big time.
And we were talking about local mascots. We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I got an email, Kevin, and you've been to Ducks games. You've watched Ducks games.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, the Ducks have a mascot. His name is Wild Wing, but I don't remember seeing him.
Oh, maybe
down there at the Honda Center when we've been. But apparently,
that either.
Apparently, they do have a duck. So if that's your job, we want to hear from you what it's like being in the suit.
All right, let's begin with Gretchen in Newport Beach. Good morning, Gretchen. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
You have to wear a costume to work.
Yes.
That would suck.
It does, especially in the summer.
All right, who are you?
Well, I can't ruin the magic, but I'm a few different creatures at a theme park.
Sure.
AKA chipmunks.
Sure.
Penguins, bears.
Oh, so,
the sort.
So you're not the same thing every day. You don't always show up in your chip. Sometimes you might be a penguin.
Yes.
Really?
And yes, it's very exciting.
Wow.
Too many goddamn kids, though, right?
Yes. That's why, one of the things I do is parades. And on days when there's two, we kind of go over to friends' houses, smoke quite a bit of weed, and go back.
Well, sometimes you have to do that.
That's the behind the scenes we were looking for.
That helps with your hydration.
Of course.
Big time.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you.
All right, Gretchen, thank you so much. Hey, let's talk to Amber. I didn't even realize this was an available mascot job, but I guess somebody's got to do everything. Amber, Buena Park, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Amber.
Hi, who are you?
I'm Amber.
No, I mean, who are you in your costume?
Actually, Julius the Monkey from Paul Frank.
Julius the Monkey. I know the little monkey logo that the Paul Frank line has, but I didn't know they actually had a mascot. What do you do?
We go to special events and store premieres and openings and runway shows and stuff.
No kidding.
And do you constantly find yourself surrounded with people who go, who are you?
You would be surprised. Everybody knows who Julius is.
How about that?
Now, why did you want this job, Amber?
Actually, a friend of mine, they wanted initially a friend of mine to do it, and she was a little too small. And so they contacted me. She gave them my info and contacted me, and then that's how I got it. So I got it through a friend.
You sound like you don't mind.
No, it's so fun. It's really, really great. Huh. So I also used to work for the Happiest Place on Earth, too, and that was more of a job, you know, sure. kind of. But this is totally different. It's lots of fun, and the company is so great to work for, and we have a great time at all the events.
Is this full-time or part-time?
It's part-time for me. So.
Last question, Amber, and this is the same thing we asked Gator. Have you ever used the power of the monkey costume to get laid?
I can't say that I have. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Ooh. You're not working it then, sister.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you for the call. All right. Let's go to Sandra in Venice. Sandra was not Barney, but opened for Barney.
Okay.
Sandra, how do you open for Barney? Who are you?
Well, when I was working with a company who traveled around Los Angeles to schools and taught bicycle and traffic safety.
Mm-hmm.
And we had costumes that were, you know, the stop sign, the traffic light, the yield, you know.
Dude.
That's right.
So we actually got a gig to perform with Barney in Sacramento at the Arco Arena.
Right.
So hold on a sec. There had to have come a time when you're sitting in the hotel and you're just getting ready to leave for work.
To put on the stop sign outfit.
And you go, I am in Sacramento getting ready to wear a stop sign outfit to open for Barney.
You know what, though? It was really fun. I had a lot of fun. But the weird thing was that Barney was kind of a jerk and and he had two bodyguards.
Oh, come on.
Hey, Barney has serious status.
That's
in the mascot world?
Exactly. He's like a superhero of the mascot world?
Yeah, he's got legacy.
Who's the champion? Who's the king that all the mascots look up to? Would it be a guy playing Mickey Mouse or something? I mean, would that be as good as it gets?
Actually, Mickey Mouse is almost as worse as it gets because that's all kids, and you don't get to do anything. Everyone just wants your picture.
Who's the champ? I mean,
The champ of champ mascots has got to be the Phoenix mascot.
The gorilla.
He does flips. He gets paid big money. And
he goes out like during halftime of the basketball games and does flips and slam dunks and all kinds of wild stuff.
Of fire.
He's become an actual star beyond just representing the team, right?
And in the college world, there's the Montana mascot, Monty. He's a big time like break dancing gymnast and
I mean,
there's not much else to do in Montana, so you got to figure work on the mascot.
There's a movie out either right now or coming out about the Philly Fanatic, and I guess that guy for the Philadelphia Phillies, that mascot has turned it into something more than just showing up at a game.
I mean, the opportunity. A lot of these guys really take it upon themselves to step up their abilities to kind of make. It's a one man show. No,
right.
They assume that they're not there to watch a baseball game or a basketball game. They're there to watch you.
But that's the elite group. Then you come down to the theme park people, and then you come down to the birthday people
and the stop signs.
And the birthday signs. People blow. Like we had SpongeBob over to our house for the kids a couple of years ago, and SpongeBob was all hands with the moms.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, so we sent SpongeBob packing. Apparently, some of the moms were like, SpongeBob, just grab my ass. What's going on with that?
Hey, let's talk to Jennifer in Riverside on line 5. I think this may be as low on the mascot chain as you can go.
Jennifer?
Hi.
Hi. What are you?
I was the mascot for Hometown Buffet.
What? Wait a minute. Yeah. What mascot does Hometown Buffet have?
It's a giant bumblebee named HTB.
It has a name.
And what is...
Yeah, he has a name tag, too.
What does he do?
Buzzes.
I had to walk around with, balloons and, give them to kids and stuff. But the thing is, the costume was so huge and so scary because it had, a huge head with antennas. Like, the kids would always cry, and so, I would have to, run away from the table in these huge shoes, and, I would fall everywhere. And this one time, they didn't let me be the bee anymore because there was this stupid 15-year-old who kept screaming at me, so I beat up with all the balloons.
Nice.
You should.
You're dressing...
When costumed animals attack.
Yes.
Absolutely.
A bee costume at a hometown buffet.
Yeah.
That's going to make a lot of people feel good about their jobs today.
showbiz. All right. Thank you for the call.
Well, that was a beautiful segment. Those are some terrific people. All right. We need to clear the lines. Thank you, Gator, by the way.
Absolutely.
Very much appreciate it, sir.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:43.
Psycho Mike, you got to be pissed off how they ripped off your song, man.
No, seriously. I mean, it's like not even, there's no difference.
They
like,
took all the vagina out, too.
It's like Vanilla Ice and Under Pressure.
That's weird.
I mean,
that's
ugly.
Tomorrow morning in the 8 o'clock hour, the latest in a long line of Kevin and Bean breakfast shows. We've been lucky to have almost every band we've ever gone after, including the Biggies, including your Metallicas and your U2s.
Yeah, amazing.
But Linkin Park is one that has escaped us until now, and that is going to be tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We're giving away tickets to join us, plus Project Revolution tickets to see the band, along with My Chemical Romance and so much more. You win both of those if you call us right now.
Yeah, and I don't, I was not aware that this world existed before, but mm-hmm. we found out that they have string quartets play current music. So you've got, like, cellos and violins and whatever. I don't know what they play.
I don't know who the audience is for this.
I don't know
who the guy is who loves Linkin Park and says, oh, but you know what would make it better? His take away all those annoying guitars and that singing and replace it with a violin. Who's that guy?
I don't know. I don't know who buys this stuff or why they would, but we're going to have you identify it with a little game we like to call Strinkin Park.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to have breakfast with Linkin Park, you need only identify these string quartet versions of Linkin Park's songs. It's just that simple. Welcome to Kevin and Bean's Strinkin Park.
Thank you.
We're kidding with the name, though. We'll clean that up in post,
no,
right?
It's Strinkin Park.
Okay. 1-800-520-1067. Contestant number one is Jose from Torrance. Jose, on the line. Tickets for breakfast with Linkin Park. And, of course, you can join them at Project Revolution July 28th at the Hyundai Pavilion. Listen up. Here's your song. All you have to do is identify this Linkin Park title.
That should be against the law.
Too easy?
I kind of
no,
like
but
it.
They did do it. Jose.
Yes.
Name that song.
Somewhere I Belong.
I want to hear. Right. I want to feel.
Well done.
What I thought was never.
All right. All right.
Put you on hold.
Yeah, I guess we only have two pairs left, right?
That's correct,
so we're going to do some sort of a grand prize drawing at the end.
Okay.
Kevin from Melwa.
Norwalk.
Oh, Norwalk.
Norwalk.
I have M-E-L-W-A.
Not even close.
I think that's Gator, who's from Florida. He doesn't know the area.
He's better in the costume than he is at hearing Norwalk, I guess. All right, Mr. Melwa, listen up. Here's your Strinkin Park song.
All right.
All right, what song is that?
Oh, shoot. That's, What I've Done?
That's faint. Sorry. Let's go to Letitia in Claremont.
That's what happens when you live in Melwa, by the way.
Letitia.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hey.
You ready for your Strinkin Park?
I am.
Here you go.
Letitia, by the way, has a Linkin Park tattoo, we're being told.
Oh.
Can she identify that Strinkin Park song title?
Can I hear it again?
No.
It was like 20 seconds. Come on.
If you have a tattoo.
I know, and I heard it, and I'm like, crap.
Come on. That some of them don't sound much like the song. That sounds just like it.
It does, yeah.
What I've Done. Oh, my God.
Sorry.
It hurts me to send away someone with a Linkin Park tattoo, but that's the way the game is played. Sorry.
Matt in Garden Grove, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, you ready for your Strinkin Park?
Let's do it.
There you go. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Linkin Park song.
Crap. Please, come on.
Song is that your final answer, that it's called Crap?
No, it's definitely not Crap.
Song from Linkin Park.
Breaking
Take a
Habit.
Guess.
Oh. So numb, I can't feel you there.
Yeah.
Numb.
Well, after the fact, it doesn't help us. By the way, you understand that we're playing a game called Strinkin Park. That's what's on K-Rock right now.
Yes.
A professional radio station.
Well. David and Silmar, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
We're not having a lot of luck with Strinkin Park. We've only gotten one person so far, Jose from Torrance.
I can throw that in.
Okay, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
What song is that?
I believe it's In the End.
Sorry, David. Lying from you is what we were looking for. So far, just one person eligible. Let's try George in Whittier. Hey, George, ready for Strinkin' Park?
Hell yeah.
Here we go.
Here's your song. All right. Song title?
What I've Done.
Very popular answer. All right, so far it's just Jose. Let's try to give away one more pair of tickets because we've got one pair left. Don't have to do a drawing at this point. It's sudden death. If you get it right, you're coming to the breakfast.
And Jose's coming to the breakfast, right?
Yep. I said Jose first. Okay. We got one pair left, though, so let's find that winner.
Anthony in Newhall. I'm sorry, Anthony in Los Angeles.
What's going on?
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Here's your song.
There it is. That's the one. Let's hear it, Anthony.
In the End.
Yeah.
Look at that. I tried so hard and got so far, but in the end. Nicely done.
This is why it pays not to have a tattoo of Linkin Park. I think that's a lesson we've all learned. Congratulations, man. You'll enjoy Project Revolution, and we'll see you at the breakfast. Thanks for calling.
Rape me.
Lisa, come on, stop it.
It's not even funny to joke about.
I'm
What's
a fan,
wrong with you?
What can I say?
Guys, we found something very disturbing this week that turns out apparently to be true, and we're going to get into a discussion of it after the news at 9. But apparently Asian babies are born with a blue spot on their butts. I didn't know anything
what?
About this. But
I didn't either.
That is the story from a K-Rock listener, and we'll talk to him and find out what he knows coming up. First, Thursday morning, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, you know, I'm not only Los Angeles' favorite entertainment reporter. But it turns out I'm also entertainment reporter to the stars.
Really? Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, really?
When the celebrities want to know what's going on in Hollywood, it's pretty obvious who they turn to, who they listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I've been for some time now, but I've, you know, I don't like to brag about it, but...
yeah, that's you.
Just yesterday, you know, when I do my little celebrity birthdays.
Right.
We were talking about Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
And I brought in my special correspondent, Dave, the King of Mexico.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Dave,
when did he become your special correspondent?
He's not a correspondent.
He's a special correspondent.
Yeah, all right.
What happened just a few minutes ago on the phone? What happened to you earlier?
Well, I got a little ring on my telly, and it was Kristen Bell.
Oh, hi.
Oh,
how are you?
Calling in.
Oh, squirt.
Calling me, you know.
Are you kidding me?
She gave me a call just to thank Ralph for talking about her birthday. She heard about it. And
She's so perfect in every way.
Yep.
Isn't she?
Well, except for she shouldn't be toying with Dave like this. Because let's be honest.
She's getting his hopes up.
Yeah. He was on the phone for like 20 minutes. He's like, who the hell were you talking to?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Kristen Bell. I was just talking to her.
Yeah, you know, everyone's trying to scream going crazy. And I'm just like, yeah, what's up, Kristen?
Yeah, we're trying to find people to play our game so they can win Linkin Park tickets.
Yeah,
and
I
Dave's not picking up too many phone calls.
All right. Would you if Kristen Bell was on the line?
No, of course not.
That's the right call.
So that's not my job either.
Yeah, that's true.
So how was Hawaii, Kristen Bell? Did you have a good time when you were there making a movie?
Exactly. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Dave.
She's falling for you hard, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's the best. Dave's benefiting from the reflected glory that should be going to you, Ralph.
No, not at all. I'm happy to share it. I mean, Dave works hard on the show, and I know they have a relationship. It's just nice that she would check in and then
she's the best.
It's
an embarrassment of riches. Dave has taken Mike's wife. He's taken Bean's wife.
Yep, he sure has.
Kristen Bell. What's going on?
What did Kristen end up doing for her birthday to celebrate, Dave?
Oh, you know, she had a party last night with her friends and a dinner, you know.
Oh,
but I just couldn't make it because, you know.
Because you didn't know it was happening?
No, you just, I couldn't, right. I had a thing to do, so, you know.
Sure. Yeah, there's anything in the world that you would do rather than be at Kristen Bell's birthday party.
Well, that was cool of her to call.
Yeah, it was very
reruns
nice
of Gilmore Girls on CW I had to watch.
All right. Like a Mars.
Dave, congratulations.
Well, thanks,
Thank you.
Dave.
Thank you
very
much
for fielding that call and for letting everyone know that Kristen's a fan. We
appreciate
that. All
right.
Go answer some calls now.
Some real ones. Dave, what do you think the best thing about you is?
I'm just rad.
Okay.
Well, there is that.
Hi, this is Kristen Bell, and you're listening to the Dave the King of Mexico show on the world famous K-Rock.
That's just wrong.
Word.
No, word. Get out, word. What are you, Cameo?
I'm just rad.
The Emmys were announced this morning, at least the nominations were, and here are some of the people nominated for Outstanding Performances in Television. Outstanding Comedy Series. This is your five nominees. Entourage, well-deserving. The Office, very, very funny show.
Sure.
Ugly Betty, people tell me it's great. I've never seen one myself, but
I've seen it because my wife watches it, and it doesn't strike me as a comedy. I mean, sort of, I guess. But
dude, she's ugly, and she falls down a lot.
There's a lot of drama stuff.
It's kind of a melodrama.
Yeah,
really.
I guess
it's a dramedy. Would you call it a dramedy?
Yes, sure. I would.
Two and a Half Men, also not a comedy.
That's
nominated in the comedy series.
I like that.
And 30 Rock, which is becoming more of a comedy, but isn't quite there yet. So those are your nominees.
You understand that the guy wears funny hats with slogans on the mouth.
That guy. Oh, with the big glasses and the mutton chops, and he's got a trucker hat every week. He says a different funny slogan. That's comedy. They should give them an Emmy.
That's what I've said.
That's Emmy Award-winning comedy. Funny hats.
Today, I'm so excited.
Yeah, so am I. Outstanding drama series, Boston Legal, Grey's Anatomy, Heroes, House, and The Sopranos.
Heroes will win.
I don't know.
It's a tough category.
It is tough, except that House is better than all of them, except for that part.
Sopranos is going away.
See, that's why
you got
that. That's why that's going to win right there. Best actor in a comedy series, Ricky Gervais for Extras. Why isn't that nominated as the best comedy? God, I love that show.
Yeah, it's good.
Tony Shalhoub, of course, for Monk. Steve Carell for The Office. Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock. And Charlie Sheen for Two and a Half Men. Lead actor in drama series, James Spader, Boston Legal. Dennis Leary, Rescue Me.
Fantastic.
James Gandolfini, The Sopranos, Kiefer Sutherland, 24, and Hugh Laurie, the best goddamn actor on television.
He's a fag!
He is not.
How dare you?
I will kick your ass in defense of Hugh Laurie. Outstanding lead actress in a comedy, Felicity Huffman, Desperate Housewives. Another show I don't really count as a comedy, by the way.
Yeah, really, right?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, The New Adventures of Old Christine. Lisa watches it.
It's a very good show and very well written.
That's all you need to know.
You should watch it once.
I have so little interest in that.
Is Sally Field on that one, too, in your imaginary Lisa land where you live?
No, she's not.
Tina Fey for 30 Rock, America Ferrara for Ugly Betty, and Mary Louise Parker for Weeds. And six nominations for Outstanding Actress in a Drama Series. Sally Field in Brothers and Sisters.
Uh-huh.
Like that exists.
Uh-huh.
That's a placeholder until they can write their real one in.
Yep.
Yeah.
They need to put something up on the card.
Look, there are six nominations for this. The only category with six nominations, lead actress in a drama series. Lisa just wrote this in. She just hacked into the Emmy website and created the Sally Field Brothers and Sisters thing.
It's a real
Lisa,
show.
Lisa, if there were a show with Sally Field on a cut of Brothers and Sisters, one of us would have heard about it.
Somebody.
I've heard
somewhere.
About it. That's one of us.
You're half.
Closer. Hey. Kira Sedgwick. Mariska Hargitay for Law & Order Special Victims Unit. She's got giant cans, by the way.
She does. She absolutely does, yeah. Those I've heard about.
I was watching a rerun the other day, and she's just bouncing around there next to Stabler and Tufalo. Or
Kenny Stabler?
Munch. Yeah. Who's Ice Cube on that show? What's his name? Ice T. Ice Baby. Which
it's
Ice is
tea.
It?
It's Ice T.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He plays Tufalo or something. It's some kind
I
of...
Know, Munch is Belzer.
There's really
right?
Someone who's Munch?
Munch, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll give you a second.
Stabler is Maloney. Christopher Maloney. Yeah.
You guys know Ron, right?
We're talking about pop music. Patricia Arquette, Medium. Minnie Driver, The Riches, and Edie Falco for Sopranos.
No, I don't. Falco?
Oh, I see where you're going there.
Come on.
Heather Mills has announced via her lawyer that she will accept a. Well, here's the deal. She was offered $40 million in a divorce settlement by Paul McCartney.
Oh, this is still going on, huh?
Yeah, they haven't settled this divorce settlement yet.
Okay.
McCartney offered her $40 million. She turned it down. Ooh. So they went into a five-day, relatively short hearing, and this is what came out of it. She said she will walk away, and they can do away with all the legal hassles.
Not walk away.
Well, limp away.
Right.
For $100 million.
Oh,
that's
come
what
on.
She's willing to settle for.
Oh, my God.
It's $100 million.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
In her defense, she was married to him for 4 years.
Wow. That's insane. That's,
are you
that's
kidding
her,
me?
That's her price tag to walk away and not be a pain in the ass about this.
What a pain in the ass.
And $100 million breaks down to like $100 million per leg for her.
That's true.
So, thank you. Thank you so much. More celebrity legal news. John Bon Jovi is suing the maker of a energy drink called My Jovi Energy Drink.
My Jovi?
Yeah. Marcos Carrington, the man who creates this coffee-based energy drink, has a girlfriend named Jovita.
Ah.
And Jovi is her nickname, and he named it after her, My Jovi.
Okay.
Well, John Bon Jovi thinks it's too close to Bon Jovi and is suing him.
Because people might drink the coffee instead of listen to a CD?
I guess.
What the hell?
Have that kind of competition in the world. Can't have people drinking fluids and not buying Bon Jovi CDs.
I don't believe he'll win that one.
Well, here's the thing. It's got a slogan where it says, it's my Jovi, it's my life.
Right.
And the problem is, Bon Jovi has a song called It's My Life.
Right.
Oh, I see.
So in the combination with those two things, I think they believe it's a little too close. Hmm. But it also says It's My Energy as part of the slogan, and he doesn't have a song called It's My Energy.
Yet. So he loses.
So he may have to change the name or cough up some money to Bon Jovi because he's hurting for cash. And the greatest news I've ever heard, the Independent Film Channel has announced they will be airing R. Kelly's music sensation Trapped in the Closet as a TV series. For those of you who didn't get a chance to see the videos, it will air the original 12 episodes of the series and has ordered 10 additional episodes, brand new ones, to make a 22-episode run that will show on the network as well as IFC.com.
Fantastic.
So we get more music in August and we'll get more videos as well.
Now I'm looking for the bong. Now I'm finding the bong. Now I'm loading the bong.
Early preview.
More money news. The Rolling Stones played a private show last week in Spain.
Private show?
It was a corporate gig. Sometimes,
what does it take to get the Stones?
Sometimes companies will order a band to come in to make a big event, especially a organization like Deutsche Bank, which is a German bank, a huge international bank cartel. And they ordered them to come down and do an 80-minute show for 500 bankers.
Okay.
What do you think they paid the Stones for 80 minutes?
I know they got real deep pockets in some of those corporate gigs that they do. Let's say $10
million. Oh, $5
million. Really?
Yeah, $5 million for 80 minutes.
Wow. Still
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's still a good afternoon's work for the Stones.
Stones rarely do private shows, but for that kind of money, even Mick wouldn't say no. He reportedly told the crowd of bankers, thank you for having us. The best part is this is coming out of your bonuses. So there you go.
But if you had crazy, crazy money, Ralph, you might hire the Stones to come play at your house, right?
No.
Really?
It's a waste of $5 million.
If you had billions, though.
No.
Okay.
No. Like Springsteen or somebody, you know? Yeah, but not the Stones.
Okay.
For $5 million. And top 20 TV shows. You know, it is summertime, which means that shows that wouldn't ordinarily get a chance to appear in the Nielsen ratings are showing up. And a brand new show is doing well as well. The top 20 shows from last week. Let me see if I can see. Brothers and Sisters not in
not
here.
In there.
Not in the
it's
top
not,
20.
No. It's not on right now. It's in hiatus.
It's not on when it's on. Top 10, though. Shark in reruns.
Funny.
Good. Very, very good show with James Woods. Not that funny.
No,
but good. So You Think You Can Dance, very popular show, number 9.
We called that one, right?
The All-Star Pregame Show was number 8, Law & Order SVU, we were just speaking of Mariska Hargitay. CSI New York was number 6, the regular CSI, even in reruns, top 5 show, was number 5. America's Got Talent, number 3 and 4, the two shows that aired last week. Number 2, Singing Bee.
Oh, God.
Are
Singing
you
Bee,
kidding me?
Singing Bee, second most watched show in America last week.
We've never been more out of touch with
Singing
what's
Bee.
Popular
you
than
know,
we are
there's
now.
Good stuff on cable. Why
I
are
know,
they finding
that's the
this
point.
Stuff? Like Rescue Me is amazing. That's on right now.
Don't forget the lyrics, by the way. It was 18th, so it pays to be first if you're going to rip somebody
off. Yeah, sure.
But the number one show last week.
Well, it's got to be Fezball, right?
The All-Star Game.
Yeah, got to be All-Star Game.
Yeah. Major League All-Star.
It's a good one. Got a tight game all the way in the ninth inning.
Oh, stop it.
I'm just saying.
Still baseball, though, right? It was still baseball.
Still
when
great.
It was all over,
still
it was
great.
Still baseball.
Still outstanding.
Yeah. That was the only problem with it. In the beginning, it was baseball, and then halfway through, it ended up being baseball. And by the end?
Baseball.
Stayed baseball.
Best sport there is.
Not even close. Not even the best show played. Not even the best sport played in baseball stadiums. Oddly enough. You know the best sport in that? T-shirt shooting?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jared Padalecki. He is originally on the Gilmore Girls, now on Supernatural on CW. He's 25 years old today. Anthony Edwards from ER and Top Gun and Revenge of the Nerds. He's 45 years old today. Brian May, guitarist for Queen. I was just in the other room listening to the Flash Gordon theme from Queen. Remember that? Flash! He'll save every one of us!
I sure do.
No, I don't remember that at all.
You don't remember that?
Uh-uh. Flash Gordon, dude.
Flash Jesus. Gordon.
I didn't watch Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon.
I didn't watch it.
Save everyone else.
Although that sounds really good.
You're one of the greatest movie themes ever.
Wow.
Horrible movie, great theme.
Not the way you guys sing it.
You know, Sci-Fi Channel is bringing back Flash Gordon as a TV series.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And they're getting Louis Couture to remake that that theme, so we'll be able to hear that. So okay. I'll be bringing that in soon for you.
Right. Looking forward to that.
Happens in August. Flash Gordon hits the screen.
Can't wait.
Can't wait either. And of course, George McGovern. Politician is 85 years old today.
Well,
still alive. I said, of course, I had to pick somebody off the list, Lisa, and that's what caught my
All
eye.
Right.
He's still alive, by the way. He sure
that
is.
I saw him on TV in an interview last week.
Wow.
Mm. You're watching bad TV.
Oh, and Kevin Haskins from Bauhaus, the drummer, he's 47.
Yeah, you're clearly out.
Is that better?
No.
No? How about Earls Bueller from Il Divo? He's 36.
Oh, God, no.
No.
Say goodnight, Ralph.
Let's see. Let me see what I got here.
Say goodnight, Ralph.
We don't have to have anything there.
We're good.
More. More.
Pull the plug.
More.
Put it down.
More. Bernie Leadon of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. He's 60.
Come on.
All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Tony Lopez from Whittier has just won tickets for White Stripes at the Forum. He's also eligible for the grand prize drawing we do tomorrow morning at around 7:15, 7:20 or so. We may be calling Tony. We'll definitely be calling somebody to say, hey, you're going to see the band again at Mount Rushmore. Details at KROQ.com and your chance to qualify coming up on KROQ.
I don't see the dude on the phone.
You don't see Paul Lee?
Weren't we going to talk to Paul?
We were going
hey,
to.
Hey, Light, were we
going
to talk to Paul here? We had... K-Rock listener, you know, we've done the Wheel of Racial Stereotypes many different times just to prove or disprove the stereotypes. And the one that was most troubling to me is that white people smell like mayonnaise because I thought that was a joke and it turns out to be true.
Yeah.
Yes. White people smell like mayonnaise. That blows.
If you're white, you can't smell it.
Apparently that's
the thing.
What about half-breeds like me? Like, what about a guy like me? Do I smell like
half white, half Mexican?
No, I don't
smell
think
like
so.
Half like mayonnaise and half like
half mustard. I don't know.
Salsa or something?
No, I think all like salsa.
Well, we didn't put this on the wheel because we were frankly too dumbfounded by the idea that Asian babies are born with a blue spot on their butt. And we want to thank K-Rock listener Paul Lee, friend of the show. He's the one responsible for the tremendous artwork on the last Kevin and Bean Christmas CD. He does terrific work for us. Paul, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, Bean.
So you wrote to us and you said Whitey doesn't know this, but Asian babies are born with a blue spot on their butt.
That's right. And to answer the half-breed question,
yes, please.
My nephew, my sister's kid, you know, mother's Chinese, father's white, blue spot on half the butt.
No way.
Yep. No.
Is that a joke?
No, serious.
Okay, what's the blue spot? What is that? I've never heard of that.
Hmm. It's just like I actually didn't know the details of it, but I looked up, and it's just sort of pigmentation that's resulted from birth, basically, but... It's a genetic thing found among Asians, primarily.
Do all Asians have it, or most?
I think 100% Asians. Also American Indians, and some East Africans, possibly. But all Asians. For that, I had learned that there's genetic markers to indicate what race you belong to.
Mm-hmm.
And for Asians, it's that blue spot and the shape of your front teeth.
Okay, this is getting
What are you talking
weird.
About?
This is getting
your front
weird.
Teeth.
All right, before we move on to your cockamamie theories about teeth, what is it a tiny little round blue spot like if it were a mole or something, or is it a big, like a bruise? What are you talking about?
It's maybe 2 or 3 inches on the small. It can be even bigger than that. It's sort of blotchy.
It could be like a whole cheek, right?
Yeah, well, it's usually along the spine on both butt cheeks, a little bit halfway up the small of the back.
But what is it? Why? Why do they do it?
Well, it's not like the kids are doing it.
What's the point of it?
There isn't a point. That's just a fact.
How long do you keep it, Paul, once you have it?
Well, by the age of 3 or 4, it really fades, and by 7, it's gone altogether. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't know about it for almost all my life until I had kids.
Uh-huh.
But my wife knew about it, and she's like, oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. You had a kid that had a blue spot on his ass, and you were like, what's that?
Well, actually, before he had it, she mentioned that he was going to have one. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, because it's not something anybody ever talks about.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it. My whole life, this is the first time, this week is the first time I ever heard about this. Now, because it kind of looks like a bruise, do people ever run into trouble where they think the kid fell out of the crib or something and got hurt?
Yes, that's actually the number one sort of caution for people who have, especially people who have adopted an Asian baby.
Mm-hmm.
To let them know that there's a condition because they often get reported for child abuse.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Keen real quick. Keen is on the line from Van Nuys, or as Gator says, Van Ives. Keen, you have some experience with this blue spot. What's it all about?
Yeah, it's actually more so Keen. My son has it. He's 6 years old. And when he was born,
she came out, and I asked the doctor, I said, what's going on? Did he just poop? And they said, no, that's actually common. And then my mom came in the room after my son was born and said, hey, you used to have that. I said, well, no way. She said, yeah. It's pretty common.
So, how come I can't have that?
It does feel like kind of a ripoff.
You
come
get
on.
To smell like mayonnaise.
I want to be blue.
So you, Keen, so you and your wife are Asian?
No. I'm half Mexican, half Hawaiian. And my, well, not my wife, my baby's mama, she's Mexican. That's the weird part.
So it's a Hispanic thing, too. It's not just Asian. Is it everybody but whitey? Is that what's going on here?
There's a good possibility.
Everybody gets a blue ass but us.
Wow. All right.
A ripoff.
But it does go away because I checked it and I don't have it no more.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much, Keen. Why is this a secret? Why do I find out now, Paul?
It's not a secret. It's just not something that ever comes up in conversation. Like, hey, I have a blue spot on my butt.
Should come up in conversation all the time. Let's say good morning to Matt and Whittier. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, Matt. Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
How you guys doing? Yeah, I'm Mexican, and my nephew has a blue spot on his butt.
So Mexicans have the blue spot, too.
Because, it actually covered, like, his whole cheek, like.
Uh-huh.
And even when she went to the doctor's office, you know, to get him checked up and everything, they had a call,
Child services?
Yeah, because they thought it was child abuse.
My God, yeah. That would be hard.
But as she grew older, I think it got a lot smaller.
Now, let me ask Matt and Paul. They're both on the line. Have either of you ever asked a doctor what causes it? What causes the skin discoloration?
No, I don't know. I never asked.
It's just genetic. It's just something you're born with.
Huh. Is it true that Armenians get a spot of hair on their butt? Is that true?
I don't know.
Or is that just a rumor?
Who
this
needs?
This is what I suggest to them, though. Like, maybe they're not their baby's daddies. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
that's a good point, right?
Who needs color more than white people? We get nothing.
We got nothing.
We have no color whatsoever, and everybody else is getting a blue ass.
Yep. It's a ripoff.
Freaking white, smell like mayonnaise.
Hey, thanks for bumming us out, Paul. Being all Asian and superior again, dude. See you later.
Time for your phone calls, as usual, 1-800-520-1067. You get to pick the topic. We put you on the air. You get a prize.
And today it's tickets to the 2007 Orange County Fair going on now through August 5th. You know, you're going to see Hinder, Papa Roach, and Buck Cherry on August 1st at the Pacific Amphitheater on the fairgrounds. A lot of rock and roll this year out at the fair, and you get to go one night. What? What's with the poop face, Ralph?
What are you talking about?
Do you have to?
Yeah,
if you win.
That's a Papa Roach is great in concert. So is Buck Cherry, for that matter.
Hinder.
Well, you get there a little late for Hinder.
Right.
Andy in West Covina, good morning.
Hey, what's going on?
My Mark, what's going on with you?
Hi. Hey, nephew. I had this awesome idea for a new TV show.
Okay.
It would be American Mascot.
American
Flavor Mascot.
Do you have your radio up?
No.
No.
Oh.
What's all that racket in the background?
Are you watching TV? Are you at work?
Are you a 911 operator?
Are you in a movie theater? What's all the noise?
Do you live in the Biodome?
I was at work. I had the speakerphone on.
Oh, okay. That's
I
bad.
I just turned it off.
All right. American Sorry. Mascot. So you take all the mascots from across the country and they, what, live in a house together and...
Yeah.
Somebody gets voted off each
Could
week?
Could do that or, you know, full body contact wrestling match or, you know, as a final, you know...
It would be cool to find out who the baddest mascot is. Like you get, you know, the mascot for the Rangers up against the mascot
Trust
for
me.
The Bobcats.
This idea sounds horrible and I'm sure it'll be on ESPN next week.
Absolutely.
That's probably true. Yeah. No, thanks. Thank you, Andy. Work on that. Get back to us. All right. Let's go to Jonathan in Whittier. Good morning, Jonathan.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Hey, Jonathan.
Have you guys heard about those new Christian action figures they got at Walmart?
No.
Mm-mm.
Action figures?
Yeah, they got new Christian action figures at Walmart now. And I don't know about, I'm not trying to diss God or anything, but they don't look fun to play with at all. I don't know how they're going to try and convince kids to have entertainment by that.
What do they say? Do you know?
I saw one of the Jesus ones, and it says, like, treat others as you would love to be treated.
No, it's mad.
I'm like, dude, I would prefer more of, like, a David action figure saying, bring it on, Goliath, or something more entertaining, you know?
Yeah, well, work on that and get back to us. Thank you.
It's like Buddy Jesus from Dogma. Remember Buddy Jesus? He would like give you a wink and a thumbs up and everything. He's the new Jesus. It's great.
Let's go to Tom in Santa Fe Springs. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, you guys got to hear about that home improvement kid. The parents sued him for all his dough. They foreclosed on his house. They vandalized his pad.
This is the kid that played the kid on Home Improvement?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, the littlest one.
Jeremy Miller?
I guess. I don't remember his name, but he's just a total burnout now. He was on Inside Edition yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about him. They vandalized his house. And
who vandalized his house? His mom and dad?
No, somebody broke into his house, vandalized it, wrote all kinds of stuff, about him on the wall. And
what does this have to do with his parents suing him for money? I don't follow this story at all, Tom.
No, it was on Inside Edition.
Oh, okay.
I should be getting it from them then.
It's possible that the delivery is not clear.
Okay.
So you're talking about two different things. The kid's house was broken into and people wrote stuff, and the kid's parents are suing him.
Yeah, the kid's parents sued him, and he's just a total burnout now.
I don't even know who this kid is you're talking about. What makes you think I care?
He was the youngest kid on Home Improvement, and we're spending 4 minutes talking
only
about
Omar
where he is
cares.
Now.
Only Omar cares.
All right. Let's go to John in Temecula. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing today?
Hey, John, you want to come be a phone screener at K-Rock? We need one.
Oh, absolutely. What do you guys need me to do?
Screen phones?
Yeah. We thought that was kind of in the title. All right, what's your topic?
Well, hey, as if it wasn't bad enough, my work had to send me out to Ranch Cucamonga and deal with all the dirt people.
Right.
And if that wasn't bad enough, that all the women out here are third world ugly, and I thought it couldn't get any worse, but I finally saw something good happen.
What is it?
I was driving down the street, and I saw a midget sign twirler.
A midget sign twirler?
Yeah!
That's got to be hard when
you're
a midget.
Was he able to keep the sign off the ground?
Depends on the size of the sign.
It was bigger than him. I could barely see him over the sign.
I like it.
It was hilarious.
I don't think they wanted you to see him over the sign. I think they wanted you to see the sign.
One good wind, and that kid's gone.
So he said that all he could do is he could move it back and forth. He couldn't spin it around because it would hit the ground every time.
Sign with legs.
Thank you, John.
I'm impressed with his effort, though.
Let's go to Jose in La Puente. Good morning.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, what'd Jose.
Hey, I just wanted to say that Transformers is the best movie ever.
The best. Now, are you saying that? You saying that literally? You think it's the best motion picture that's ever been made?
Ever been made?
Really? Better than Star Wars?
Star Wars sucks.
Transformers is better than The Godfather.
Godfather sucks.
I'd say Transformers is in my top 10.
Oh, okay.
I liked it a lot.
Is it better than Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby?
Well, nothing's better than that.
I'm not a big fan of Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Okay, you're bad then. We're going to put you on hold. Thank you.
We're getting Transformer reviews in, by the way. Fresh as today's headlines. The
it's
Transformer reviews
fan.
Are starting to roll in.
I am
finally.
A little interested in a guy who goes to see Transformers, no matter how much fun it may be on a summer afternoon, and walks out thinking he's seen the best movie
Dude,
ever.
It's Kevin's people. Whatever the latest thing you've seen sticks in your head. You're like, oh, that's the greatest movie.
But best movie ever?
This is the best meal I've ever had. This is the best meal I've ever had.
For me, it's top 10, though. It would be in my top 10.
Of all time.
But my top 10 changes a lot. Like Ralph says, it depends on what I've seen recently.
Yeah.
All right, let's close with, what do you got? We got
Charlie.
Tyler? Charlie. Let's close with Charlie in the LBC. What's going on, Charles?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Well, the new Harry Potter book's coming out in 2 days, and Amazon.com did a thing where you could pre-order.